Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, December 1st, 2018. This is episode 1545. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/TechGuy. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And by Helix. Helix is driven by a simple mission: to empower every person to improve their life through DNA. Follow your DNA to a wealth of actionable insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and more. Visit helix.com to receive up to 40% when you enter the promo code TechGuy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. TechGuy time, yes indeed. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, you know, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you're calling from outside that area, hey, I'm still here. Just use your Skype out. We have listeners all over the world thanks to the internet. 8888 Ask Leo. We have a website. I put that website up so that you can listen to the show and not have to frantically write things down as I mention them. In case you want to visit a link or download a program or check out a price or whatever that is, that's all at techguylabs.com. And that's free. There's no sign up. You just go there. You get, all the stuff you need. We don't want your email address. That's fine. I'll tell you what. I'll put a link to this New York Times article from this week up there. Came out on Wednesday, I guess. The virus alert on your computer. Scammers in India may be behind it. Shocking. The New York Times is on it. Scammers from India. What say? What do you say? What do you say? What? We've talked about this for how many years now? 5 years? I've been talking about this. You know, if you get that pop-up or the phone call. Phone call was very common for a while, and I think people started to catch on. I've gotten them several times. Hello, this is Windows. That's the one I like. Calling. I'm calling from Windows. Huh? Okay. I'm driving in my car. Your computer has shown up on our network as being infected, and we'd like to help you fix it. Oh, yeah, sure you would. Now, I think more commonly, they put a pop-up on your computer, which might look like it's from Microsoft. Might even have a web page or a Microsoft logo associated with it. I'm looking at the one on the New York Times site. It says, support.microsoft.com says, Microsoft warning alert. Malicious pornographic spyware riskware. I never heard that before. Detected. Error. And then they put some random nonsense. Number sign 0x80072EE7. Please call us immediately at, and they give a phone number. I won't give that number out because it's a scammer's number. Do not ignore this critical alert if you close this page. This is a scam. I just want to say that again. Your computer access will be disabled to prevent further damage to your network. We've talked about this before. Bad guys want to create a sense of urgency, even emergency if they can, because the less you think about it, the better. They want you to act before you think. If you close this page, your computer access will be disabled. Your computer has alerted us. Ooh, this is a smart computer. That it has been infected with a pornographic spyware and riskware. Now, I want to point out the first thing you always look for is weird grammatical errors. Generally, if Microsoft pops something up on the screen, it's not going to have spelling or grammatical errors. And it's not going to randomly capitalize words like pornographic spyware. And it's not going to make up words like riskware. What is that? It's risky? It's not hardware, it's not software, it's not malware, which is bad, it's riskyware? All right. The following information is being stolen, dot, dot, dot. financial data, Facebook logins, credit card details, email account logins, photos stored in this computer. You must contact us immediately so that our expert engineers can walk you through the removal process over the phone to protect your identity. Please call us within the next 5 minutes. Again, urgency, maybe even emergency, to prevent your computer from being disabled or from any information loss. Toll free. And there's an OK button. It's fake. And according to the New York Times, it's coming from Mumbai. most people ignore these entreaties, which is a good thing, according to the New York Times. Anybody who listens to this show by now knows they're bogus. 1 in 5, though, this is what scares me. 1 in 5 recipients, according to consumer surveys by Microsoft, 20% actually call the fake tech support centers. 6% ultimately give them money to fix the non-existent problem. Now, if you've listened to the show, you know that there's numerous issues here. First of all, you gave them money for nothing. Second, you probably gave them a credit card number to get the money. Not good. Third, you usually have to give them access, remote access to your computer, which means while they have access to it, they can do anything they want, including put real riskware on there. So, law enforcement authorities working with Microsoft have traced many of these boiler rooms to New Delhi, India's capital and a hub of the global call center industry. That's the dirty little secret of this. A lot of these people are actually working during the day as support folks for legitimate companies. And then the night shift, they moonlight doing these fake calls. Last week, police from 2 Delhi suburbs raided 16 fake tech support centers, arrested 3 dozen people. Last month, 24 people were arrested in similar raids on 10 call centers. In another suburb of Delhi, 50 officers swept into 8 centers on Tuesday night. The police said the scammers had extracted money from thousands of victims, many of whom were American or Canadian. Once you see that pop-up, you're offered a package of services ranging from $99 to $1,000 to fix the problem. Listen and read this article in the Times that came out on Wednesday. You might yourself recognize this, and you might know friends who should hear this, read this, send it to them. I'm glad Microsoft's, kind of stepping into the fray here because, with their support, a lot can be done, I think. Microsoft gets about 11,000 complaints a month about these scams. Their internet monitoring spots 150,000 pop-ups a day. And the company's own tech support forums, support.microsoft.com, where you can post your problems, are constantly bombarded with companies offering these fake tech support scams. Of course, Microsoft takes them down as fast as they post them. But, hey, they're sitting around waiting for your call. They might as well put some more up. Although American authorities say the Times have busted operations in Florida and Ohio, the backbone of the illicit industry is in India. Because they run so many call centers, they know how to do it. It's a $28 billion a year business in India. They know how to do it. 1.2 million people in India are employed doing legitimate call center support, and I imagine that those skills translate very nicely into the illegitimate. Researchers at Stony Brook University published a study of these, estimated that one single pop-up campaign spread over 142 web domains, brought in $10 million in just 2 months. See, I'm in the wrong business. I need to start charging. I need a tech guy pop-up. $10 million in 2 months. That's just one of them. It's organized crime. The Justice Department said that 24 people in the U.S. and 8 states have been convicted for their scheme. And I got these calls. I bet you will if you haven't already. To use Indian call center agents to impersonate tax collectors for the IRS. 15,000 people, I'm adding this, probably mostly seniors, were duped out of hundreds of millions of dollars. So tell your friends and family, IRS does not call. We're getting to that time of year where you wouldn't be surprised to hear from the IRS, right? They don't call. Microsoft does not put pop-ups like that on your Windows. And they don't call you out of the blue. One piece of advice from Microsoft. Actually, this is from the author of the research paper at Stony Brook. Don't pick up the phone. Well, I think sometimes some people have to. I'm afraid we have to occasionally. But don't pick up the phone. They're in the phone. Let's take a break. I want to take some calls. 8888 Ask Leo. If you want to, I get calls about this all the time. Maybe this will finally, shut up those people in India and say, stop it, knock it off. I doubt it. It's too much money to be made. 8888 Ask Leo. Kim Schaffer, the phone angel's there waiting for your call. Say hello to Kim. We'll get you on the air. We'll answer your questions. Let's talk tech right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Oh, you're bouncing up and down on the ball there, Kim Schaffer. You like that song.
Big Pee-wee stumped me. I don't know what this is.
It's good, though. Big Pee-wee used to work at Stevie Wonder's radio station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're going to hear some nice, sweet soul, I think,
awesome.
Among other things. He's got a broad range of... Our new musical director. We welcome him.
Welcome, Big Pee-wee.
Damien. Damien's his name. You have been answering the calls, answering the phones.
Yes.
Here we are. This.
Yeah, happy December.
This December, first weekend in December.
Where this came from. But
everybody's saying that. You know, it's funny how everybody's saying,
this year just
how did that happen?
Blue.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
they
I don't.
Do.
It's
Once
funny,
you get
isn't
older,
it?
Right? When
yeah.
When you're a kid, a year is so long. But when you're old.
Are you old, really? Come now.
No,
come now, young
no.
lady. I don't believe
I do
that's
have
the case.
A landmark birthday coming up?
Oh, do
year,
you?
But,
oh, how exciting. When's that going to be?
The big 3-0.
Yeah. When is that?
April 14th.
All right.
I'm a tax baby.
Please make a note, everybody, that right before you
and
pay your taxes.
Happy birthday to you. Cause
thank
I,
you. I just celebrated.
You just celebrated that yourself. So.
Mine. So, which we're not going to talk about. So, who should I talk to?
I think I'm going to throw you a softball. And
please.
Patrick in Indianapolis. I think I could have just answered his question for him.
Good.
But, I guess he has an unlocked phone and he wants to know if he's got to go to the carrier, if he just installs the SIM card or how
that does
whole
that
thing
work?
Works. And I just had to do it. So, I totally get it.
You know.
I know.
What, you
I
have
know
a new?
Answer.
Did you get a new iPhone?
Yes.
How do you like it? Which one did you get?
The big...
The
Monster.
10S Max.
Yes, I did.
It's pretty. You got the gold one.
I got the gold
That's
one.
That's nice. That's
it's
very
like
pretty.
A mortgage payment, but
yeah.
You know.
It is. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's absurd. But
it is ridiculous.
They got us. They've got
they
us
got
over
me.
A barrel, I tell you.
Anyway.
Kind of makes me mad, but at the same time, these are so, they're kind of works of art. They're beautiful.
They are, but
did you get a nice
ridiculous.
Case for it? Because
I
it is
have
made
no
of glass.
Case yet. No, I mean, I have my old case, and actually, Burke, you know how he's kind of MacGyver? He cut a hole in my old case.
Oh, get a new case.
Well,
they're
$5. No, I haven't found one yet.
Oh, okay.
One. But he X-Acto knifed a hole for my camera.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, the old one.
That's
doesn't
good.
Match up.
Hey, it works. Otherwise, it fits. You just have to put the camera hole somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
Isn't
it,
that funny?
It totally fits otherwise.
How there, funny.
That's the only thing that does not match up.
You use the same kind of cases I recommend. I like anyway. The plastic.
I just
TPU.
Like a little thin one. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want an OtterBox or something.
I get
huge
these for
like
every phone. Every phone I buy, I get these like little
yeah,
rubber.
It's perfect. I'm going to find
they're
one
cheap.
Like that.
They're
I just
$8,
haven't found one yet.
$9,
I probably
$10.
Have to buy one
Amazon.
Online.
Just
yeah,
go to Amazon
exactly.
and search for case. And I get the clear ones because Apple puts a lot of effort into making these pretty.
Yeah.
And it seems a shame to put it in a colored case. So. I just get the clear. And they're so inexpensive. Spigen is a good company.
That's,
S-P-I-G-E-N.
I was looking at that one.
Yeah, but I just buy whatever I find. I mean, they're all the same. Thank you, Kim. I'm sorry.
Patrick.
I feel bad. Patrick's just sitting there listening to us jawbone. Thank you, Kim. Hi, Patrick. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Welcome to Set Up Saturday.
Set Up Saturday.
Yep.
That's a good. It's been, you had Black Friday. All the new stuff came, right? And now you've got to set it up.
Yep. One intentional, one unintentional. The laptop died and I had to buy a new laptop.
Oh, that's a bummer. Although a good time of year to do that, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just now I have to reinstall Windows because the October update borked on the new laptop. So I have to redo Windows. That's okay. That's running right now.
This has been a nightmare for Microsoft, and actually less for Microsoft, more for its users, this update, mm-hmm. 1809, they call it. And now they're working on the new one.
Yep.
As if all is well.
One hopes. So I bought a Samsung Galaxy S9 through Best Buy because they were on sale for $200 off. And AT&T didn't have the 256-gig phone, which is weird. But I'm wondering if all I really need to do with this thing, since I'm going from an S5 to S9, is just drop the SIM card in and it will start, or do I actually need to take it down to AT&T and have them do something funny with it, hook it up to some system or something?
Yeah, it should just work. So here's what this is. There's all kinds of locking, but this is carrier locking. And carriers, it comes from the days when carriers would really basically buy the phone for you. You pay $200, and the carrier says, okay, and over the next, we own you for 2 years. If you quit early, you're gonna pay us. Otherwise, we're just going to dribble out the payment for the phone over those 2 years. And it'd be kind of invisible to you because we won't particularly, you know, mark it in the bill that this is your bill. In fact, it was smart of them not to mark it as payment for the phone because once people started buying the phones outright, they didn't cut the cost of your monthly payment. So they're still getting the $30 a month for the phone, even though you paid for it. So the FCC wasn't real thrilled about this locking it down once the subsidies went away. They said, well, you can't, you know, if the customer's buying a phone from you, you really can't lock it. And Verizon got in a little trouble for something else. They agreed never to lock their phones. So the carrier locking is a bad idea. And almost all the carriers now, if you call and ask them, if you're in good standing, the phone is paid off, they'll unlock it for you. Did you buy the phone unlocked, though? You bought it at Best Buy?
Yeah, Best Buy had their pre-Black Friday deals on their website. So $250 off the phone.
That's a good deal. I know. The price is Samsung. I'm mad at Samsung because I bought a Note 9 at the regular price. I'm mad at Google because I bought a Pixel 3 at the regular price. And then 2 months later, they're cutting half the price off. So, yeah, you should be able to take the SIM. If it fits, you should be able to take the SIM out of your S5 and put it right in the S9. You're not changing carriers. Turn the phone, both phones off before you do the surgery. You probably got a little SIM poker with the S9 that you can use to open those up. The only issue would be the size. I don't remember if the S5 used these little SIMs or if it uses the... There's the nano SIM is the current, then there was the micro SIM, and then there was the standard size SIM. If it's too big, easiest thing would be to go down to AT&T and say, I need a new SIM. If it's... You can get I have somewhere a SIM cutter. I do this enough where it's just like a hole puncher. And he just cuts out the outside cardboard so it fits. But really, the best thing to do would be go to AT&T. If it doesn't fit. If it fits, put it in, turn it on. It's good to have it off when you do this for a variety of reasons. But once you put it in and turn it on, it should, within a minute or two, recognize in the AT&T network. It may need to make some changes to the APN settings. Probably not. You'll see AT&T in the upper left-hand corner, and you're good to go.
All righty.
Have a great new phone. You're going to love that S9. It's a great phone.
Yeah, now I just have to get a case because all they had was lilac.
Yeah. I like my lilac.
It doesn't match any of my stuff.
Oh, Patrick. Leah Laporte, the tech guy. I like my lilac. Yeah, somebody's reminding me of the days we used to do. We used to do a hole punch, and to make discs double sided. That is a blast from the past. Remember that, Mike B?
Can I get my codependent?
yes, that's the sound of Scott Wilkinson singing along to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Scott is our home theater geek. Took last week off. I'm glad you're feeling better, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
We missed you on Black Friday, the weekend before Cyber Monday.
Yes, I know. I
I hope everybody got some good deals. There were some good deals to be had. We talked about that the week before.
Yeah, I feel like we'd prepared people well.
Yeah, I think so.
And that now, is this the best time of year to buy, or is it right before the Super Bowl better?
Well, TVs in particular, I think either one. You might get a slightly better deal before Super Bowl because that's later in the product cycle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we will already have been to CES. We'll already have seen the 2019 models. And so they're going to want to move the 2018 models. So, you know, it might be a little better then, but it's certainly not bad now.
It was kind of amazing. The amount of money spent on Black Friday, Cyber Monday was the most ever spent by a significant amount. Billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, sold. I'd heard that.
Yeah.
And Amazon did great, apparently.
Yeah. And up like 20%, 30% in many cases.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. What really kind of blew me away was the billions of dollars spent on people's phones. Mm. And in particular, on Thanksgiving Day, people bought stuff on their phone to the tune of over $1 billion.
What? $1 billion?
Yes.
Wow.
I see this scenario of people, they've had the turkey, they're kind of a little tired, a little sleepy,
yeah,
the football game's
sleepy.
On. Mm-hmm. They whip out the phone and they say, let's just buy something real quick before they drift off. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway, it was a very, very good for merchants.
Yes.
And
yes.
I didn't see any breakdown from Adobe Analytics, which does these breakdowns. I didn't see any breakdown from them on TVs particularly.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. The
like
top five products Thanksgiving Day were not TVs. Were Nintendo Switch, Beats headphones, Hot Wheels, the Red Dead Redemption game, and Hatchy Babies, which I guess will be the hot thing.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what Hatchy, but the sales were up 28% from 2017.
Oh,
that's Thanksgiving
man.
Day.
Yeah.
Retail sales for November, $38 billion. Very, very. So when, you know, when people say, oh, stock market's down and stuff, I look at this one for, you know, our economic well-being.
You know, that's a very good indicator. I agree.
Yeah.
How much are people spending?
Yeah.
And sure, they're getting a good deal, but they're still spending that money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does make
me
feel bad, though, because as I was telling our last caller, I, you know, if you bought a phone at list when it came out, as I have to because I have to review them, you're just looking at these. It was $400 off the Google Pixel 3, and that's like a month later.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you don't have a choice.
I guess I get no choice. But
you need to look at them as soon as they come out, and you, as an honest, reputable reviewer, buy them instead of accepting them from the manufacturer.
What do you think? This would be a bad time now to buy a TV? Should I wait now till just before the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think so. If you need a new TV, this is always my criterion first is, hey, if your TV is working and it looks good and you like what you're seeing, you know, why upgrade? I mean, except if you're, you know, an early adopter type who must have the latest thing.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe now's better than then, because in February when the Super Bowl comes on, it'll be that much older by a few months, which in these days is a lot. And, you know, the next one's going to be coming along in the spring.
It's interesting. So, I wonder, you know, I wonder if stores also feel a little guilty raising the prices this weekend. Like last weekend, they were so good. Do they maybe keep them this way through the holidays?
I bet, you know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't really know the answer. I'd have to do some research on that.
Yeah.
Or do they keep them low from now through when they get the 2019s? It's a good question.
According to Adobe Analytics, Black Friday saw the best deals for TVs. Prices were down 18% and computers 17.8%.
Mm.
On the Sunday before Cyber Monday, last Sunday, 31.6% reduction for toys.
Mm.
Then Tuesday, the biggest discounts for furniture and bedding. So you really have to strategize these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When are you going to actually pull the trigger and spend that money?
Let's see. I'm buying some bedding. I better wait till Giving Tuesday.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's a news item from today that I really wanted to just mention
please.
Real quick.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. The very first 8K broadcasting started today
Oh my.
In Japan.
Oh, my.
Yep.
8K. Oh, my.
8K. 8K from NHK, the Japanese public broadcasting.
And they're always the leaders in this stuff. They were the first to do HD. They were the first to do UHD. And now they're...
Yep. Yep. Now they're doing 8K.
Are there any sets out there that can receive 8K?
There are. Not very many. Well, receive is a different problem than display. There are TVs out there that can display 8K. Sharp makes them. Samsung has started selling them. They're very expensive. For example, let's see, the Sharp TV that came out was $133,000.
Yeah.
Currently, Samsung 8K television costs about $15,000. So right there, you're seeing, boom, a serious drop.
But before you run out and do that, though, how are you going to see any 8K content? Where are you going to get that?
Well, at the moment, the only place you can really get it is from NHK in Japan via satellite. And you need a separate receiver,
right,
which Sharp sells for about $2,200. Now, dig this. You have to connect that receiver to your TV with four HDMI cables.
Four?
Because there isn't enough bandwidth in the current version of HDMI.
Well, 8K is four times the UHD, so I guess each HDMI cable is carrying one quarter of the screen.
Or, in other words, 4K.
Yeah, four 4K screens.
That's
Holy cow.
Now, the next version of HDMI, called 2.1, will be able to carry a full 8K signal in one cable. But that's not been deployed yet. It's not available yet.
Holy cow.
We should see some progress on that at CES next month. Is it only next month, CES?
Yes. It's like 1 month from now.
Yeah.
Bam. It comes so fast.
I know. Anyway, we should see some developments in the HDMI 2.1 realm and the 8K realm. I imagine, you know, we'll see LG. LG has already shown 8K displays, but more as prototypes or technology demos.
Yeah.
But we'll probably see some more product. But, you know, the only place you can get it right now is in Japan. But like 4K, which grew, you know, over the last few years, we now have a lot of 4K HDR content. We're going to see that happen with 8K, I'm pretty sure. Not only that, dig this. NHK is broadcasting its 8K with 22.2 audio.
What does that mean?
It means 22 speakers around the room and two subwoofers. And this is speakers above and in the middle and at the bottom of the screen, on the sides, overhead. That's
better than a TV show. I mean, a movie theater, right?
It's at least as good, yeah.
And you'd have to have that content encoded to do that. Is that a Dolby encoding, or is that some made up?
No, it's not. It's NHK.
There's no Dolby 22.2, huh?
No. Dolby Atmos could do that.
Oh,
can
okay.
do that, wow. But it's a different thing. Now, the first thing they're showing is 2001: A Space Odyssey, specially scanned from 70 millimeter film to 8K.
I'd like to see.
I would, too.
I would to see that. Scott Wilkinson, he's our home theater geek. We love seeing him every week. Tuba Christmas coming up. Go to tubachristmasla.com, right, for tickets?
That's it.
And
no tickets, just show up.
Oh, you don't even need a ticket?
Nope.
Just go. Watch Scott lead an orchestra of thousands of tubas or something. How many 100. Tubas? 100.
100 tubas. Still pretty impressive.
It's not bad. All right, I am going to put you in. I have a new. You're going to like this, I think.
Oh yeah, a new clock.
New clock that shows minutes instead of seconds, so it'll be a little bit more usable, I think. But I have to get it positioned. There we go. See that?
Oh.
Now you know you have 3 minutes.
Nice.
40. Like that, huh?
Oh, that's really
fancy,
nice.
Fancy schmancy.
Fancy schmancy.
All yours, my friend.
Thank you so very much. Hey, everybody. Happy to be back. Happy to not be in tooth pain. definitely. We're talking in the chat room about TVs and 8K. Oh, Mike Heiss here. Video and Audio Center is selling the 85-inch Samsung right now, and they told me they're selling a decent number of them given the price. Mike, was that article I was reading correct? Is it like 15 grand? I think that's about what it is. And yes, BBC Foodie, BBC wrote an article about Space Odyssey launching the first 8K TV signal. Yep, absolutely. Let's see here. Problem with the TV business, says Mike, is that there's so much price compression. Prices are low all the time. It's true. The margins in the TV business are razor thin. So that's a real problem for them, actually. And I didn't mention, but someone here said, I'm pretty sure, is that the 8K really benefits from larger screens, as 4K benefited compared to HD. You want a larger screen in order to appreciate all that resolution. 8K is the same. Although I've read a couple of things recently that indicate that even if you don't have that super huge screen and or you're not sitting super close, you still see some benefit, that the typically cited limits to visual perception are actually somewhat misleading or incomplete, shall we say. I have more research to do on that, and I'll bring that to you as soon as I can. But it's definitely now a question about whether or not 8K resolution, just resolution by itself, even at a not huge screen size or not super close distance, might convey some visual advantage. Certainly HDR is still there, and that's going to be the bigger advantage. That's true of 4K as well. And 8K TVs right now are expensive, but as we just saw, they're coming down. Even now, they're coming down fast from $130,000 to $15,000. Holy smokes. Alberta Guru asked, why wouldn't they do the connection with a fiber optic cable? Well, they certainly could, and there are companies that make fiber optic HDMI cables, including a company called Fiber, F-I-B-B-R, in China, whose cables I've actually used. And the main advantage there is you can go over much longer distances at full bandwidth than you can with copper. HDMI per se defines the maximum bandwidth. And so even if you have a fiber optic cable that can convey data much quicker, it's still limited by the transmitter and the receiver, which only transmit and receive at the bandwidth specified by HDMI 2.0 or 2.1. 2.0 is 18 gigabits per second max. 2.1 will be, I think, 48 gigabits per second max. So there you go.
You going to stick around for the top?
Happy to.
All right. TubaChristmasLA.com.
That's it.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Again, Scott Wilkinson. And, okay, it's not 1,000 tubas, but honestly, it's 100 tubas. And if you hear 100 tubas, it might as well be 1,000 tubas. Right, Scott? Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. That is correct.
it's a lot of tubas.
Like 100 tubas playing Jingle Bells.
It's a lot of tubas. Jingle Bells is made for tubas, though, I got to say. All the holiday favorites. Scott will be conducting a visit from Santa Claus. His wife, Joanna, will be singing, and 100 tubas will be playing. And it's at Forest Lawn, has a beautiful auditorium there. But you can find out more, and I guess there are no tickets. So just get the information, the date and the time at TubaChristmasLA.com. And by the way, this is a national phenomenon. Tuba players, as you might expect, don't get a lot of chance to get out and play. So there's tuba players all over the country who play for the holidays, Tuba Christmas. If you Google Tuba Christmas, you'll find the local Tuba Christmas probably in your neck of the woods. But Scott plays and directs the Tuba Christmas LA version. What is the collective noun for, you know, like you have a herd of geese and a murder of crows?
A flock of tubas.
A flock of tubas. No, it's got to be.
A brace of tubas.
I think it's an oompa of tubas.
There you go. I like that. An oompa of tubas. I'll take that.
88. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next week. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Chip, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, is next. Hi, Chip.
Hey, Hi, Leo.
Your name is perfect for this show. Anything with a chip in it.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Well, anyways, I'm trying to find a modem or a router that's compatible both to Xfinity and Verizon Fios.
Oh.
Because right now they finished my 1 year contract and they're going to hike up the price. They always try to upsell me, and you know it's
who's
it's
they Xfinity.
Crazy.
Xfinity.
Both. Yeah. Well,
both.
I had Verizon before, and they try to upsell me and increase the rate to astronomical.
Yeah.
And,
it's sad because here we are. This is the country that the internet was invented in. This country. And yet we have among the worst internet of all the developed nations, primarily because of these monopolies. And even though, you know, AT&T or Verizon aren't really technically monopolies, they sure think they are. In most areas, they're at least at best a duopoly, where you have a choice with the cable company and the phone company. But in many areas, there's just one. So it really is a monopoly. And so they can kind of treat you poorly. And it's a shame. There is no one hardware device that will work with both because their technologies are so different. Xfinity's using cable, the cable TV cable, the coax coming into your house. And you need a demodulator that handles that. And that's different from the one that handles the Verizon coming into the house. And so you there's no one device that will handle both. Now, a router is a different story. So you need a modulator, demodulator, something that can decode the data coming in and will give you an Ethernet jack out of that. And then that you can plug into a router. Unfortunately, the way Verizon's Fios works, they give you a router modem. And I don't know if they allow, and I haven't checked this, if they allow compatible modems only. They might. Comcast does.
Well,
Comcast, you can buy your own, and that's a standard cable modem. They recommend a variety of brands. In fact, I use my own cable modem with Comcast. And then you can use any router with that. Verizon's, I think, so with Verizon, John is saying you only need to use their device if you have the TV service. So do you want TV as well as the internet?
No, I don't want TV. All I need is internet. I was just
okay.
Yeah.
So, you have Fios, the Verizon service you have is Fios.
Yeah, I got the Fios for a 30-day trial. That's why here I could just shut it off and not pay anything. So I got a router from Target for $42, which is great. And they have a box outside of the house from the Fios, so I didn't need a modem or anything. So, but I want.
So what you would then get from Verizon, and they do offer these, is just a modem only, and let it decode it, and then you can hook your own router and continue to use the router you got for Xfinity. You can continue to use it, whatever router you happen to like. The only if you're not using the TV, then it's no big deal.
Yeah, if I switch to Xfinity, can I still use the $42 router?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yep.
Now, if I could get something
This all gets complicated if you're going to use any packages from either Verizon or Comcast. For instance, if you're going to use the phone service from Comcast, then you suddenly need a special router that they offer that does phone and data. But if you're just doing data from both, any router will work.
Yeah. The beautiful thing is I got Ooma telephone, so I don't need their telephone.
Perfect.
Just,
That's what the cable. You're their worst nightmare. You're somebody who doesn't want their TV service because you get everything you want through the internet. Doesn't want their phone service because you get everything you want through the internet. That's exactly the customer they don't want because they can't get your cable bill up to $200, which is their goal. You're doing God's work there. Keep it up. Keep up the good work, because anything that sticks it to the cable and internet service providers in this country, I'm all for.
There's a big mystery on the combination of a router and
as long as you have an Ethernet jack out of whatever that is that Verizon or Xfinity gives you. And I'm not sure. I would bet that Verizon, you could say, look, I don't need a router. I just want I just want the internet. They would give you an Ethernet drop, which means you wouldn't need anything but just your own router. And any router will work with that. Data is data. Once you get to that point, you're just getting a data data connection from them. And so anything will work with them. So that's the trick, is that something has to decode their content.
Oh, okay. So so I have this round cable coming out of
that's the wall. Yeah, that's the cable connection. That would be a cable television connection. Everybody's got that. I haven't ever used Verizon Fios, so I don't know exactly what you get. I would guess it would come out of your phone line, your phone jack, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a flat one. Yeah,
And it connects. What does it connect to on the wall? Does it connect to coax on the wall? What does it connect to on the wall?
It went from the street pole into a box outside of the house.
Yeah.
Once it got inside a house, it's a flat wire.
It's Ethernet?
So it
sounds like they're giving you you can do Ethernet from the ONT. So that's if you've got that, you're golden. Then you just use any router you want. They have a special optical network terminal. They often put that outside the building and then use Ethernet into the house. If that's the case, then and you have an Ethernet jack on the wall, you're golden. You could put a router in of any kind.
And it works, yeah. That's the one I got from Target. Now, Xfinity might offer me a better deal.
Shop around, but you can't use the same equipment. You can use the same router. If you're going to have Verizon, you're going to have that ONT, the optical network terminal, somewhere that turns their fiber into Ethernet. And sometimes that's on the premises. You know, really, this is the problem, is the way they implement this varies all over the country. Sometimes that's out in the street. They don't do fiber to the premise. Sometimes they do fiber right to your house, in which case you'll have a terminal and an Ethernet coming out of that. That will only work, though. It'll never work with Comcast. That'll only work with fiber. But, again, the router doesn't matter. You're actually in a lucky position. You're a better position than most. A lot of people would envy you, despite all the upselling and the annoyances you're getting from these carriers. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will do you some more of your calls right after this.
So Beatmaster and I have been having a little chat in the chat room here. He was asking about Dolby Vision versus HDR 10 Plus and why some companies support one or the other. And really, it's only Samsung that does not support Dolby Vision. Why that is, I've asked them, and they've been kind of squirrely about it, so I don't really know. I suspect it might be the licensing cost, but then everybody else pays it, and they do it. So why Samsung doesn't, I honestly really don't know. And this is why I think they developed HDR 10 Plus, which is HDR 10 with dynamic metadata, which is almost exactly what Dolby Vision is. So Samsung developed it along with, I think, Panasonic and one of the studios. They're part of the HDR 10 Plus Alliance or whatever they call it. And so they have HDR 10 Plus. And so Beatmaster asked me whether Dolby Vision or HDR 10 Plus is more important when considering a TV purchase. And the answer for me is, at the moment, Dolby Vision is, by far, because there's a lot of Dolby Vision content out there. It's streaming on Netflix and Amazon and Vudu, I think. It's on a bunch of UHD Blu-ray discs. HDR 10 Plus is almost nowhere. One company, Amazon maybe, might be, I can't remember now. Somebody in the chat room will probably look it up and know, has said they are going to offer content in HDR 10 Plus, and at least one studio has said they will release discs in that format. But at the moment, there's almost nothing, whereas there's a ton of Dolby Vision. So Dolby Vision, for me, is far more important, at least now. Ask me again next year, which is only a month away. What? You know, at CES, maybe I'll change my tune. Hard to say. but then Beatmaster went on to say, and those that offer Dolby Vision can't actually get the most out of it, as far as I know. And I said, gee, I don't know what you mean by that. And he said something about how they can't display the needed amount of contrast or brightness that Dolby Vision would offer. And that's true in the sense that Dolby Vision and HDR10 and HDR10 Plus, for that matter, can encode brightness levels up to 10,000 nits. So if you had a display that had 10,000 nit, a capability of displaying 10,000 nits, Dolby Vision could encode it. There are no displays on the market today that can produce anywhere near 10,000 nits. The most that we currently have in the consumer market is 2,000. The Vizio PQ65 will do close to 2,000, and I think the top Samsung QLED TVs will do close to 2,000. But that's it. OLEDs are under 1,000, all OLEDs, and most LCDs, HDR-capable LCDs, are like at most in the 1,000 nit range. So it's true that Dolby Vision TVs, in fact, all TVs, can't exploit that full 10,000 nit range, but none of them can. So it's kind of a moot point at this point. Now, there is one professional grading monitor that'll do 4,000 nits, and that's called the Dolby Pulsar. But that's only found in professional grading studios. And so when they grade content for home viewing, they have to set a limit of 1,000 for some grading displays or 4,000 for the Pulsar. That's making it a little future-proof in that, someday we'll have TVs that can do 4,000. Maybe we'll see some at CES this year. I kind of doubt 4,000. That's pushing it. But we could see 2,000, maybe 3. So for that reason, yes, no TV is exploiting Dolby Vision to its maximum because they can't. It's not physically possible. Now, at last CES, Sony showed a technology demo of an LCD TV that could, in fact, reach 10,000 nits. But it's certainly not a product for sale. It's liquid cooled. So, you know, it's not super thin. It's got to have tubes in there to run the liquid around to cool the thing down because 10,000 nits is hella bright. And it was. It was incredibly bright. And would look great. I mean, obviously, you don't want 10,000-nit snow scene where the entire screen is blasting 10,000 nits at you, or you would definitely need sunglasses. But for little specular highlights, little reflections off of cars and chrome and stuff like that, that would look fantastic. It would look amazing. But that was a demo of something that's not going to be available to consumers for many years to come. Well, I don't know about many, but quite a few, shall we say. And Mike Heiss is making a good point. HDR10 Plus is only 10-bit, not 12-bit. Dolby Vision is 12-bit, at least in the processing. That's correct. It's ultimately delivered in 10-bit. So, but again, you start with something bigger and you reduce it down. That is better than starting where you want to end up. That is true. Same is true with resolution. If you start with 4K and you squeeze it down to 1080p, that's going to look better than if you started with 1080p to begin with and processed it in 1080p. That's always going to be true. So that is a good point, Mike. At least in the inner workings of Dolby Vision, things are happening in 12-bit, and then they squish it down to 10-bits by the time it's actually delivered to your screen, because no home TVs can do any more than 10-bit anyway. Apple TV has Dolby Vision. That is correct. Kalu says, instead of higher resolution and other dubious features, they should make higher frame rates the new selling point. I totally agree, but there are those who disagree, at least for movies. Let's talk about movies. Some people really prefer their movies at 24 frames per second, and they don't like them faster. That's sort of, in a way, it's sort of the same as 3D. Some people really like it. Some people really don't. And look what happened to 3D. So I'm not sure higher frame rates, at least for movies, are going to become a big deal. If you want to see what higher frame rate looks like, check out Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk on a UHD Blu-ray player and a TV that can handle it, because I think it looks fantastic. Some people think it doesn't, but and that it's not cinematic. There you go.
Thank you, Scotty.
My pleasure. See
Have
you next
a
week.
Wonderful week.
Merry Tuba Christmas.
What day is Tuba Christmas?
Tomorrow, Sunday the 2nd.
Oh, I'll have to mention that.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got smartphones. We got smartwatches. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, I'd love to talk to you, but you should use Skype or some other voice over the internet and call me. That way it won't cost you anything. 8888-ASK-LEO. Chuck in Essex Junction, Vermont is next. Hello, Chuck.
Hi. How you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. And I'm thrilled. I had called because I had a couple of things I wanted to mention.
Okay.
That I picked up from Bash shows, but I do have a myriad questions.
Well, I'm going to set out this entire 8-minute segment just for you. It's Chuck time.
Okay. No, it's pretty short.
Oh,
actually, but
well, I'll give you as much as you need.
Yeah, I hit 74. My milestone now is 75.
Yay!
I'm not really anxious to get there, but I do want to get there.
Well, 75. Let's see. That's according to my scientific calculations. That's 5 years in computer time.
Okay.
I estimate that a computer every year of age in a computer is 15 human years.
Yeah.
So in computer years, you're only five.
What I like, I like your show.
Thank
I like
you.
All your shows.
Thank you.
Mainly because you know how it is. When you've got a question, you just can't wait. You got to go dig it out.
Yeah.
But when I watch your show, it increases the breadth
Thank
of
you.
This
yeah.
this electronic world. I mean, so that I understand, it increases my vision and helps me answer my own
Thank
questions.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. I really and I appreciate it when you call and others like you to give us more clarification on other topics yeah. that we talk about. Because it's really, I think of it, and you're old enough, as am I, to remember user groups. They've kind of faded away. But
oh, yeah.
in the early days of computers, you weren't getting any help from the companies. You still don't, do you? But users would band together for user groups where they would, you know, once a week or once a month meet and talk about these things and help each other out. And that's kind of what I think this is a user group yeah. of the radio.
And the bulletin boards. Maybe.
Yeah, remember all those days? Yeah, I was very active yeah. in that. And I like the idea of it's not just me, it's all of us. So I'm the moderator, but anybody who calls in or is in the chat room or goes to the website can help people too. So you like, said you had some help for people from last week.
Yeah. Like most people, my interest always far exceeds my budget. But
oh, yes.
I managed to keep in touch.
So oh, yes.
Last week, I think, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, you had a photographer call in who takes pictures of birds.
Yes, Dr. Bird.
And he said he made a mention about the difficulty with getting pictures of dragonflies.
Yeah.
And I worked with a man for 13 years, and he has a site. It's called dragonhunter.net.
Oh.
And he has everything. He has wonderful high-resolution pictures of dragonflies. The kind he can blow up. You know, he had one of those big Epson printers that takes huge rolls
ah.
of paper. And he's, you know, given a lot of galleries.
What does he do to get dragonflies, to freeze their motion? And
I have no idea. He's really patient.
Yeah, patience is a real virtue when it comes to photography and in general. Yeah. Wow, these
exactly.
are beautiful. These are beautiful.
So,
yeah.
And so I wanted to mention that. And the other thing was I've heard, you know, every now and then I talk about the Epson Eco printers, you know.
Yeah, our sponsor, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I bought one of those. And for some reason, which it goes against my natural inclination is I registered it. Sometimes I don't register things because
I never do either. I'm lazy, and who cares? And I don't want to give him my email. But
right.
did you get some benefit from registering it?
Well, actually, yeah, because after 18 months, the black ink head just went totally bonkers, you know. And there's nothing I could do for it. And And I thought, oh, man, I'm sunk. And I called them up. I was talking to them. They said, well, you're registered. That doubles the one-year warranty.
Oh.
Which I didn't know.
Nice.
So I thought that was worth it. It was just dumb luck or maybe something karma was looking out for me. I was very happy. So they sent me a rebuilt one.
Good.
And I just put my old one in the packing they sent me and shipped it back. And I've been cruising pretty easy since then.
Well, an unsolicited testimonial for Epson, our sponsor, and their Ecotec. I think their support is very good, actually.
Yeah.
Good.
So that was about the only two things. Like I said, I enjoy watching the show because not only, I mean, it's very, very entertaining and it's full of useful content.
Thank you. Did you say watch? Are you watching a video stream or are you listening to it?
Well, usually I subscribe to it.
Oh, so you get the video.
Yeah, but right now I'm watching live.
I'm a handsome guy, so I think it's a good thing to get the...
Oh, yeah. I subscribe to quite a few of your pictures.
I always wonder why anybody would watch video of a radio show, but I'm honored that you do. And we stream video of all of our shows. It's kind of behind the scenes as we're making it video, and I just feel like...
Yeah.
I remember, when I was a fan, I used to watch Don Imus, used to stream his... show, I think Howard Stern streamed his show. And it was always fun for me, even though I'm in radio, to watch these guys work. Because you hear them, it's a very different experience when you just hear somebody's voice. Unfortunately, the bad news for me is when you just hear somebody's voice, you usually imagine them much better looking. And then you see them, and I've had this experience too. You see them, you go, oh, so that's where that big voice comes from, that little guy there. So if you don't want to be disillusioned, don't watch.
Yeah. No, I had an AirPod.
Nice.
My Apple TV watching the live stream.
Do you like those AirPods?
Oh, they're great.
Now, let me ask you, though, have you ever lost them?
No.
See, I've lost three pairs now.
I don't go to the house with them.
Yeah, that's my mistake.
I do have a few little things I can clip onto them if I ever did.
These are those little Apple things. They look like a Tic Tac box. They're wireless headphones that come out. But it's not just the little AirPods. I haven't lost those. I lose the whole darn Tic Tac box. I'm sure.
Okay.
I took the last one I got. I put my name on it, and I still lost it. So I don't know what to do.
I'm
anyway.
I'm sure if I traveled with it, I would lose something.
Yeah, I put it in my briefcase, and that's my mistake. Hey, it's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for the very kind words, Chuck.
You bet. Oh, your TV. What I recorded for, especially the radio show, is that in bad weather, I go out to run on a treadmill and watch the show.
Oh, nice.
So
that's nice.
And that serves a double purpose. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Happy holidays.
You bet. Same to you.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Great to talk to you. That's really what tablets are made for, isn't it? Watching TV while you work out. Lisa and I, my birthday was on Friday. We spent the night in San Francisco at a hotel, and instead of watching the TV, you know how hotel TVs are small and they're distant. And in this case, the hotel put it like in a corner, so we'd be like craning our heads. So we just brought the iPad to bed, and you know what? That's a pretty good experience. If you get it close enough, it's as big as a big screen TV. The sound on the new iPads is excellent. Of course, like always, Lisa fell asleep, but it was a it was a great experience. 8888 Ask Leo, website techguylabs.com. If this is a computer user group of the airwaves, then your participation is a big part of it, and I do thank you if you call in and have a suggestion or an idea like, what was it, dragonhunter.net. I really appreciate when you pass those along. You can also do it in the chat room. We have a great chat room. Goes on during the live show, irc.twit.tv. Right now, there are all sorts of solutions for not losing your iPods, AirPods. And we also have a website where you can leave your comments after the fact, techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More calls right after this. Tech Guy Podcast brought to you today and really always by WordPress. That's my blogging host, WordPress.com. I love it. If you're creating a website for your business, for yourself, if you know a teenager, this is my pitch for WordPress.com. And I did this with my kids. If you know a young person who doesn't have a website, a lot of times they say, well, I got a Snapchat, I have a Facebook, I have a Twitter. If you know a business that doesn't have a website, oh, I don't need a website, I got my Facebook page. They and you need to get a website because that's your place on the internet, the one you own, the one you control, not the one Mark Zuckerberg owns or Jack Dorsey owns or anybody like that. You got to own your own website. And if you're a young person and you don't have a website, and you should probably Google your name and see what comes up, because it could be, unfortunately, you know, that video that your jerky friend posted of you 3 years ago falling on your head, something like that. You want to control your reputation online? You need a website. You need your own website, and the best place to make it, WordPress.com. That's where my site is, leolaporte.com. And it has been for, I just got my badge in the WordPress app, more than 12 years. WordPress.com. I used for a long time when WordPress first came out, before WordPress.com came along, I downloaded the software and put it on my own server at great expense. I paid for the server at great expense and time. I had to install it, keep it up to date, patch it. So much so that I didn't blog as much. I was spending a lot of time just tweaking the software. Then along comes WordPress.com, I guess about 12 years ago. And that's when I signed up because, man, they handled it all. You don't have to worry about hosting. They provide the hosting. You don't have to worry about security. They keep it secure. They give you the software updates. You focus on the reason you made a website, your site, the content, your stories, your articles, your pictures. And for me, lately, I've been kind of down, as you know, on social media. And now that I don't have somewhere to post my sites like Instagram or Facebook, I want to post them on my site. I post them on my blog. And I love that. You can still have all the other stuff. Just cross-post so that when people click a link on your Facebook page or your Instagram page, it goes to your place, your home on the net. You can upload images, video, audio. They'll host it, part of the deal. That means you can also download it anytime. It's never lost to the world. It's yours forever. In fact, I always make sure I make a copy of my Word every month or so, make a copy of my WordPress site on my hard drive. That way, I've always got it. That's the beauty of it. It's yours. You own it. WordPress.com does all the hard work. If you have any questions, of course, they've got a great team, support team. They're so smart and friendly and easy to talk to 24/7. I chat with them. It's awesome. And it's affordable. WordPress plans start at $4 a month. Now, I mentioned the WordPress app. I have to say, when we were traveling, that was the best way on my iPad. I'd blog from my iPad on your iPhone or your Android device, too. The WordPress app is great, but it's not just for posting content. You can edit content. You can also edit comments, so you can keep track of your site. I have it set so comments only get posted if I approve them. So that's a great way to keep spam off. They also have the great Akismet anti-spam engine. It's the best out there. So comment spam is a thing of the past on WordPress.com. On the app, you can see your stats, too, which is very gratifying. You just got 100 likes. I love that feeling. Much more gratifying than 100 likes on Instagram. WordPress.com. There's a reason 32% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. You'll find out when you go to WordPress.com/techguy. That's the place to go for 15% off your brand new site. Any new plan purchase, 15% off. Almost a third of the world's websites run on WordPress. Yours should too. And mine does, for sure. WordPress.com/techguy. In fact, everybody I know uses WordPress. Andy does. Paul Thurrott does. Many publications like Quartz, WordPress.com. That's what's amazing about it. It's from a personal site all the way up to a major national magazine site. WordPress.com/techguy. 15% off your brand new website right now. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. It's funny, I almost don't even pay attention to these breaches anymore. You know, when the accounts get hacked and people's emails and passwords get leaked out, they happen so often. Dunkin' Donuts. Actually, they're not called Dunkin' Donuts anymore. They're just Dunkin'. But if I call them Dunkin', you won't know what I'm talking about. So Dunkin' Donuts said that... they learned on Halloween from one of their security vendors. And this is an interesting method of attack. They hadn't been hacked, but a third party may have accessed the popular food franchise's brand DD Perks account that lets you order with a dedicated Dunkin' mobile app. That would be dangerous. That would be, I'm not signing up for that. And get free items, discounts, and rewards. The Perk program has 9 million members. The information that may have been compromised by Dunkin' is the first and last names of customers, email addresses, and your DD Perks account number. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. The big one this week, the winner this week of the Biggest Breach Award goes to Marriott. Friday, they announced that their guest reservation system had been hacked. Marriott's guest reservation system applies to all the Starwood hotels, including St. Regis, Westin, Sheraton, W hotels, and all the Marriott hotels. They said hackers gained unauthorized access to the Starwood reservation system in, get ready for this, drumroll please, 2014, 4 years ago, but the company only found out last week. For four years, they'd been breached, but they only found out last week. The company recently discovered that an unauthorized party had copied and encrypted information and took steps toward removing it. This is what hackers do. This is what happened to Sony. Hackers got into Sony. They sent a what they call a spear phishing email, an email to a Sony employee. Spear phishing is a targeted phishing email, something that is based on real knowledge of the company's organization. For instance, you get an email from your boss, or maybe better yet, your boss's boss's boss, saying, I've singled you out for special attention and a promotion, but first, I need to know if you can do the job, so open this spreadsheet and get it back to me in the morning. Oh my gosh, the boss's boss's boss emailed me. I could get a promotion. So you open up the spreadsheet, nothing happens because it isn't a spreadsheet. It's malware they just installed. So you figure, because that happens all the time with computers, I don't know what happened there. You ignore it. Or maybe there was a spreadsheet with macros enabled. You did the spreadsheet, send it back. The boss's boss's boss was puzzled. What's this? But meanwhile, the entire system has been compromised. That happened to Sony in May. They didn't know about it till 6 months later. By then, and it sounds like the same thing happened at Marriott, the hackers had the run of the system for 4 years. Oh. And what they do is they look for stuff, good stuff. They can wander around. Good stuff. What did they find? Half a billion guests. For $327 million, Marriott says, the guests' exposed information included, get ready for this, names, phone numbers, email addresses, passport numbers, date of birth, arrival and departure information. For millions others, the lucky winners in our game, their credit card numbers and card expiration dates were potentially compromised. Marriott says, we can't really tell if the hackers could decrypt those credit card numbers. We aren't really sure. Marriott says it will begin emailing guests affected by the breach. Half a billion emails. If you go to answers.kroll.com, K-R-O-L-L.com, you can read their story and what they're doing. And they've established a dedicated call center. And they have, this is what you always get, by the way. The real prize in all of these breaches, you're going to get free monitoring for a year. Marriott is providing guests the opportunity to enroll in WebWatcher free of charge for 1 year. You know, I see these ads all the time. We're going to monitor the dark web. We're going to go and see if your information has been compromised. But what do you... I'm just curious. Okay, so it's been compromised. Now what do you do? I guess you could change, you could cancel your credit cards, change your passwords. By the way, if you're reusing passwords, remember that if you use that same password, that Marriott password somewhere else, that all those sites have to be changed now, right? You get free credit monitoring for a year. Congratulations. You're our big winner. Half a billion of you. Oh, emergency contact info was also breached. So even if you never had a Marriott Hotels account or made a reservation at Marriott Hotel, you may also be involved. If it's half a billion people, I think that's close enough to everyone. Believe it or not, this is not the largest breach of all time. It's merely tied for second. The largest breach of all time, the three billion accounts that Yahoo leaked in 2013. 3 billion with a B. The number two breach ties. Marriott's tied with Yahoo for a second breach in 2014 of half a billion. Tied for second. Do they get a silver medal or a bronze? I'm not sure. I'd like to I'd like to see that podium. And the gold medal goes to Yahoo for 3 billion breaches. Silver and bronze shared by Yahoo. And now Marriott for half a billion Starwood guests' records, including in some cases credit card numbers. Passports actually pretty bad too, I would think. You don't want that to leak out, do you? You get two silvers for a tie. Thank you, Eric Duckman. There is no bronze awarded. We just have a gold and two silvers. So in this particular competition, Yahoo wins both the gold and the silver, and Marriott just gets the silver. Somebody's saying, don't forget the Equifax breach. Oh, that's nothing compared to this. Although what was breached in Equifax was much more secure, serious information, because it was your entire credit card data. But that was 150 million people. That's nothing. That's small potatoes. That's nothing compared to half a billion. That's nothing. That's barely a breach. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We're going to actually talk about travel in a bit. Johnny Jett is queued up, our travel guru. I bet he has a Starwood preferred guest group number. That he does. I think I do, if I could remember the password. Oh, I know. I could just ask a hacker. He'll know. And we'll take more of your calls. 8888 Ask Leo. All right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Johnny Jett.
Hello, Leo. I was listening to your last segment. I think Marriott got a bad rap on this one because they bought Starwood in 2016. So I don't know if they knew about it or not. I assume they did not.
Oh, they inherited the breach.
Right.
But still didn't discover it for 2 years. So right. I think everybody's at fault here. So, yeah, that's a good point. They bought the Starwood group and acquired
$13 billion, I think, in 2016. Man.
Do you pay extra for the breach?
I think so. They're just getting hammered on this one. But, since it was so long ago, and I've stated, I've been one of SBG Amex's brand ambassadors for 6 years, the Starwood card, which is a great card.
It is a great card. It's the card to have if you travel a lot because it's so many hotels and good hotels.
Yeah, over 6,000 hotels.
Yeah.
But, because it was so long ago, obviously you want to change your passwords. What concerns me is the passport information and info like that. But, I haven't got an email from them yet. Supposedly people are going to get emails that they were breached. But a half a billion people,
That's a lot of people.
What are the chances?
You're for sure. And only maybe 100 million or so had their credit cards number breached. The rest of you, it's merely your passport information.
Right.
I don't know. So, I just don't know what if you're as a rule, I keep my driver's license number and my passport number private and secure. But I don't know how useful that would be to a bad guy.
Well, I guess for your identity theft. And when you check into hotels, especially internationally, they usually take a scan of
your
passport.
But they want to see your passport. Just say, well, I don't have it, but here's my number. It's not going
to
work.
You need your passport to get into a lot of hotels when you're overseas.
Yeah.
It depends on the country.
Right.
Italy, for sure. You know, I was in Bali at the St. Regis.
When in Russia, give us your passport. We'll give it to you when you leave. Do you do that? That makes me really nervous.
You have to. I mean,
what are you going to do? Leave?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
it's a good thing. I do recommend, and I'm sure you do this, that you, and it's been said many times, you make a Xerox of your passport and you keep that somewhere separate. So if you lose your passport and you have to go to the embassy to get a new one, it's very helpful if you have a copy of the old one. They're not going to let you use it as a passport, but it'll help you get a new one.
Yeah. I mean, that happened to one of my buddies. We were traveling from, I think we're going from Budapest to Vienna, and we're on the train. And back then they would check, you know, you're going over the border. So they would check passports.
Papers, like, please.
I left it in the safe.
Oh.
So I was like, first of all, you should have left your shoe in the safe. You'd leave one shoe in the safe. That way you don't forget your passport.
That is the best life hack ever. When you put something in the safe, put one shoe in too.
The one that you care, the one you
wear, because otherwise you've lost your passport and a shoe,
exactly.
Which is not good. But the one you're going to wear. Okay.
He did have a copy of it, and you know what? They let him slide. They let him go, they let him at least go on.
Oh, that's
and then
interesting.
He had to FedEx his, had the hotel FedEx it. He paid, you know, a good amount of money, but he wasn't delayed.
Nowadays, probably putting a copy of a photo of it in your phone is probably fine. I keep it in my, instead of doing that, I keep it in LastPass, but it's a digital copy, so I have that.
Yeah, I keep digital copies of all that stuff. Yeah. Fortunately, I haven't had to use it, but anyway.
Well, you're a pro. By now, you're gonna put a shoe in the safe every time.
Well, I don't even use the safe that often.
You know, this raises a really interesting question because my wife insists on locking everything of value in the safe. I, for years, have never locked anything up. I leave the computer, the iPad out. I don't lock it up. My wedding ring, my watch, whatever. And I've never been robbed, but I have talked to many people who have been robbed. So why don't you put stuff in the safe? Aren't you a little?
Usually I will, first of all, I'll see the maids or the housekeepers, and I'll give them a good tip.
Tip them. Good start.
You know, I'll create a relationship with them. Yep. And then I put a do not disturb sign on the door.
Ah.
And I don't have them make up my room. And if I do have them make up my room, if I'm at a hotel for longer than a couple of days, which is very rare, I will then be in the room while they clean.
I trust the maids because they're the first people to be suspected. They're not going to do anything. It's more of an issue if your room gets broken into. And especially with these electric locks, which are of dubious security. That can happen. So that's something you might want to protect.
Some people say that, you know, it's usually an insider job, obviously, who's going to break into the safe. And so they always say, you know, try the code 000, four zeros, to see if that's the hotel's master code before you use it. So lock it up, put your stuff in there, and then try the 0000 before leaving the room to see if that's it.
Okay.
Because
if it
some
is,
safes – yeah.
Then don't do it. Then what? Carry everything with you. Lisa doesn't travel with her nice jewelry, honestly. I wish she would because that makes me look like a cheapskate because she wears.
I agree with her. 100%. You do not
a $4 wedding ring.
Jewelry.
People think I'm a cheapskate. Wear your good jewelry.
You shouldn't have fancy bags. You shouldn't be floating around expensive jewelry at all. You don't even want to have jewelry on, even fake stuff.
No, you're right.
Some countries, they'll bite your finger off or they'll kill you for a ring.
They'll bite your finger off.
But it's much better to have cheap stuff.
That's why in Montreal, a real problem, because they train up on those bagels and then they got really good jaw works. So give us enough of this. Give us a website. Okay. Come on.
Well, last week I called you in from Celebrity Edge, which was pretty funny because I said the internet's working great.
Was that boat awesome? Yeah, it froze it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, what timing. But it was an incredible boat. You would love it. The technology. They have this one restaurant called Le Grand Bistro where they have a 4D dining experience where these little chefs are making it in front of you, and then they bring the food that they made right in front of your plate, and it looks just like it.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
The little chefs are projected? They're little projected chefs?
You're at a table that's completely white. The coasters are white. And then all of a sudden, this dining experience starts. The projectors go on. And everything's timed. So you have a choice of four meals. It's a four-course meal. You can switch it out, but you're only going to see the video of these four different meals. One was a ravioli, and I can't remember it all. It's four different chefs from around the world. They're having a little competition. But it's hilarious. And it blows your mind. You got to watch the video to really understand it. Best of all, you experience it.
That is wild.
I did love that, and everyone's going to be talking about that. That is the coolest thing I've seen on a cruise ship. The technology right there is amazing.
Le Petit Chef.
Yes.
All right.
But watch it, and you'll see. I took a little video. I put it on my Instagram, which you're not on Instagram anymore, so you can't see it.
I missed out on all the good stuff.
But if you do go to my Instagram, you'll see it on there.
But those Le Petit Chefs, those are Michelin star chefs. Those are they're small, but they're good.
I don't know about Michelin star, these guys.
Oh, maybe not. Oh, okay.
I mean, the food's good, but it's not Michelin star. I mean,
it's not that good.
All right. Are we running out of time?
We got a minute left. Give me something.
So since I was on a boat, how about a website called getmyboat.com?
Getmyboat.com.
Yep. It's billed as the world's largest boat rental and water experience marketplace. So they have over 130,000 listings, 184 countries, 9,300 destinations. It's available on the website or iOS or Android.
I did this last Christmas with my son in the Bahamas.
Did you use this website?
We didn't use this website. We just went right to Moorings, which is one of the places. But this is all of the places. So that's great.
So you can rent from a kayak to a sailboat to a luxury yacht.
Nice.
And it was created in 2013 in San Francisco. And it's for both renters and owners.
I love the name. Get My Boat.
Listen, if you own a boat, you know it's costing you a lot of money and you don't use it, you might as well rent it out. And if you want a boat, instead of buying a boat, you just go rent somebody's.
Yeah, don't ever buy a boat.
I used to have a jet ski. My nickname was Johnny Jet Ski growing up.
Don't ever buy a jet ski. But do go to johnnyjet.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, John. You ran out of time. I know. I got to do the Epson Fast photo. I'll do it when we come back. Rats. Rats. Thank you, my friend, Johnny Jet.
Thank you.
Yes. So you had fun. Tell me more about the Edge. That's really cool, that little chef thing.
Actually, I told these guys that they should invite you on. I said, I highly doubt you would go, but their suites are awesome.
Oh,
they
nice.
Only have six of them. And
cruise line that has a special area for first class cruising?
Yes, it's called the Retreat.
The Retreat. So you don't have to
hotel
mingle
a hotel.
With the hoi polloi.
Exactly.
Down
yes.
below, you can be with yes. your own. And does it have its own restaurant and everything like
no,
that?
No, 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 no. It does not have its own restaurant. No,
it's a clever idea because the big ship problem is it's a big ship, but it does have a lot of amenities because it's a big ship, like the Le Petit Chef. So this way you get a little ship in a big ship.
Yeah, it was like Mandalay Bay with the Four Seasons in
it. Yeah, I used to love staying at Mandalay Bay, and I always dreamed of staying at the Four Seasons there.
Yeah, there's no casino in the Four Seasons.
No smoking, yeah.
Smoking. So I love that part. I only toured these the Retreat on the ship, but obviously it looked amazing. If you're a little
I'll go on the Retreat. I'll even pay for it. I don't mind paying for it.
I think you would love the chef. You would love the ship, and you would really love this Le Petit Chef. It is
that sounds so cool.
So just I mean, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see a 15-second clip of what it kind of looks like, and get you a quick idea. Although the guy didn't plate it correctly, which he should have, but I was on a Shakedown cruise. It was the very first cruise.
They're still learning.
Do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Le Petit Chef.
So
there's little chefs.
This is in the middle of it.
Oh, my God. There's little chefs on your plate moving stuff around.
And then they come with the food.
That's the projected food. Oh, yeah, yes. But he's got to match it. Dummy. Put the fries on the left, you nitwit.
Exactly. But that will all be corrected. Again, this was one of the first nights
I must say that looks like a terrible meal, but okay.
Oh, it was actually really good.
It's steak frites, I guess.
Yeah. That was steak frites, yeah.
Yeah. They got to get the same ramekins.
They had mushroom ravioli before that. And I said, you know what? Instead of the mushroom ravioli, I'll take the – I had the onion soup.
Nice.
But
– that's so funny. You put it in the wrong way. You nitwit. The fries go on the left, you bozo.
tiger.
Not even close. You should put this on Reddit. That's pretty funny. This is very funny. What are they doing there? Are they chopping the butter there on the – oh, yeah, a little chopping.
It was a five – that first video right there, that was a five-minute it was like – actually, no, the intro was 5 minutes. This one was probably a minute.
Funny.
They have a French, Japanese, Italian, and
that's hysterical. Greg in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Hello, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon and happy birthday.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to celebrate mine in on the 14th of this month.
Happy birthday to you. You're a what does that make you, a Sag or a Scorpio?
Yeah. I really don't know.
I'm glad you don't know. You know what? That means the younger generation has finally let go of these silly superstitions. Yeah. What can I do? That's awesome. What can I do for you, Greg?
Yeah, I've got two questions, and they are both related to my Samsung laptop computer.
Okay.
I had this in June, and turned it to the hard drive, wiped out, and I had to, reinstall, Windows 8, and it's now 8.1. I want to get it to 10, and most of it is now, working, including the boot time going faster, but I still have a couple of problems. My first question is that my touchpad, it's not moving despite what the device properties telling me, saying it's working properly.
Oh, that's interesting. So sometimes, a lot of times, the trackpads on laptops use drivers from other companies, most commonly Synaptix. So one thing you could do is go to the Samsung website, and I would always do this when you rebuild a computer. You can install generic Windows, and sometimes Windows, it's supposed to, will automatically install appropriate drivers. Nevertheless, I would still go to the manufacturer's website and get whatever drivers they offer for that model. Often there'll be motherboard drivers, trackpad drivers, maybe sound drivers that are different from the ones Windows installed, and you want to use that one. So that's the first thing I'd do. Is to look for the Synaptix, if it's not Synaptix, almost always is, but look for the touchpad driver on the Samsung website for that model.
Yeah, because, I tried, updating the driver.
I mean, it's unlikely. It could be that the hardware broke, right, while you were doing this. It could be, for instance, you went in there, you put in the, you opened it up, right, to put a hard drive in there.
Yeah,
maybe you accidentally knocked a cable loose. You might want to open it up again. It's probably not that hard. And make sure everything's connected up properly.
Yeah, somebody got me to do that. And at least it still has mouse capability that works fine.
I bet you it's a trackpad driver. So get the Samsung one. It's probably just different enough that it doesn't work with the generic Windows trackpad driver.
All right.
There's there's an F9 key that you can press that will turn off the trackpad. Make sure I don't know if it's F9. That's what Old Gear says in the chat room. I don't know what it is, but on many laptops, this is a common kind of funny issue that comes up. They have on those function keys above, they have special things like turning off the radios or turning off the trackpad and turning on the num lock, that kind of thing that can really confuse the heck out of people if they didn't know they hit them. So I would check that. Is it? I don't know if it's F9 or function key F9 or if it's different on Samsung. But if there is such a thing, I don't actually have. I'm looking at my Lenovo, and that there's nothing like that on the Lenovo. But somebody in the chat room says there is for
Samsung. Yeah, it might be a little different on mine.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing to check. What else can I do for you, my friend?
Yeah, my second question is I want to get up to Windows 10, but I am trying to enable the Spectre protection, and for me, I want to update the BIOS so that I can get upgraded to Windows 10 flawlessly without breaking it again.
Smart man.
But in Spectre, the enable Spectre protection is grayed out. Is there a way that I can update the BIOS?
In the BIOS, there's a setting that says enable Spectre protection? Or is that on the? It's in the operating system.
It's in the Inspector. It's grayed out. I want to try to enable it.
Okay, I would first put Windows 10 on, since you know you're going there, and then see if it. I'm not sure why it's grayed out.
Yeah, or perhaps I need to update the BIOS first before I can do that.
Yeah, I would. There's no reason not to update as much as you can update and then see what's going on. Are you talking about Steve Gibson's Inspector app? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So he wrote, my friend Steve wrote a really useful app that figures out if you are vulnerable to this Intel chip bug called Spectre. There's another one called Meltdown. He checks for both. And if it's grayed out, it may be that you can't enable it for that model chip or that operating system version.
Yeah, because I'm Meltdown protected, but I'm not Spectre protected.
I don't honestly really worry too much about that. There is one more thing to check, because it's hard for anybody to take advantage of this vulnerability. You know, you'd have to be a nation state. Are you, Greg, have you been working for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or for the Canadian spy system in any way? Are you in any way affiliated with an international spy ring?
I am not.
Okay, so you're probably not, you know, nobody's going to target you. There is something new that's happened recently. If some Intel chips weren't patchable, and I bet you that's why Steve's app is grayed out. But recently, a third party released a patch that is not dependent on Intel or your operating system. So I believe Steve probably, I haven't checked recently, but I bet you his web page for Inspector has a link to that. He talked about it last week in Security Now, his podcast we do on security. And that helps people with systems that in the past have not been patchable. There are a lot of chips that can't be patched, Intel chips that can't be patched. Patch them. Or operating systems that haven't offered them. So that may be the other issue. Intel has put out these microcode updates, and a third party, I think an open source developer, has made them available for systems that weren't actually patchable in the past. So that's another thing you might check. Not all systems can be patched. I would go to Steve's page on Inspectors, grc.com/inspector, inspector.htm, and see what he says there. That's a really useful little program. But like all of these programs, I would caution, it's easy to, you know, we talk all the time about security flaws, and it's easy to get paranoid about them. But Steve and I, we've really got to introduce a scale. I'm going to call it the GAD scale, G-A-D, for give a darn. Where does it stand on the give a darn scale? Spectre and Meltdown are fairly low on the give a darn scale. They really are difficult to take advantage of. They're much more theoretical flaws. There are so many worse flaws out there that you could be vulnerable to. And bad guys don't want to do the hard thing. They're always going to do the easy thing. That's why they're bad guys. So they're going to take advantage of other flaws. So if you're keeping your system up to date normally, you're not putting weird software on there, you're making sure that anything that goes online is patched regularly, you probably don't have to worry about Spectre and Meltdown. I don't think. Or, you know, unless you're in an international spy ring. If a nation state's going after you, that's what it's going to take. There's a new flaw, by the way, that follows on the Spectre and Meltdown. I can't remember the name of it. It's got another, these names, this is part of the thing. If you're a security researcher and you discover something, if you really want credit, you got to come up with a clever name. I don't remember the clever name for this one, but there's a new one that was discovered last week. Thing is, they're so hard to do, it's unlikely you're going to fall prey to them. In other words, fear not, young grasshopper. Let's take a little time out. Oh, that's right. Exploit. ECCploit. Thank you, chat room. That's the new one. We'll be back with more right after this. Exploit. As we take a break on the Tech Guy Show, I want to remind you we're getting to the end of the year. You know, it's funny, I think house hunting drops off dramatically from round about now to Super Bowl Sunday. And then that's when people start looking. Are you looking for a home? Are you thinking about looking for a home? Now's the time to go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Set up the account. so that when the time comes, you're ready to buy, and it's the best, most the most wonderful experience. And I can tell you this, having in my time bought and sold a few homes over my life, there's no better way to do it than through Quicken Loans, the number one lender in the country, not just in volume, but in customer satisfaction. 9 years in a row now, according to J.D. Power, number one in customer satisfaction for mortgage origination. 6 years, 5 or 6 years in a row for mortgage servicing. They're beloved by their customers, which is why they're biggest, because people come back and they tell their friends. You got to go to rocketmortgage.com/tech guy. And then when it comes time to buy, maybe you're going to wait till after the Super Bowl. When it's time to buy, you'll be ready. You just go to rocketmortgage.com/tech guy. Log into your account. Within 10 minutes, you can get what it's a three-step process. They have a name for it, the power buying process. Let me describe it. Step one, answer a few simple questions. This is only when you're ready to take the loan. So you can get the account now. But when you're ready to say, I think we're going to go home hunting, that's when you should do it. Name, address, birth date, social security number, and they will then, within a few minutes, run a credit check and give you pre-qualified approval. That basically means, and at that time, you choose the loan. You get to see all the loans you qualify for. They've got great rates, totally competitive rates. I talked to somebody who refied the other day. He said, this is the best rate I could get. I went everywhere, and this is the one. They have very good rates. So they'll say, here, based on your income, assets, and credit, here's what you qualify for. You choose the term, the down payment, and the rate you want. Now, you're in the process. That's step one. Step two, over the next 24 hours, usually without any work on your part, a Quicken Loans loan officer will verify income, assets, and credit and give you something they call verified approval. You get a letter. You can print it out if you want. There's a big button on the app. Print it out. You get a letter that you can give your realtor, or better yet, carry when you make an offer on a home, carry over to the seller, say, see, we're qualified. No contingency on us, ma'am. We're basically a cash buyer. I don't know if it's competitive where you live. Around here, nobody sells a house, but they don't get 3, 4, 5 offers. And if somebody's coming in with that verified approval, they're going to jump right to the head of the line because there's no contingency. The seller knows you got the money. You're good for it. That's awesome. That's not the end of it, though, because once you're verified, the best part happens, especially nowadays. Rates are definitely going up. They call it their rate shield approval. Once you have verified approval, you qualify for rate shield approval. You have up to 90 days to shop, and your rates can't go up. You're locked, which is great. Takes all the stress out of home buying. You don't have to rush because you're worried the interest rate's going to go up and the house is going to cost you a lot more. No, you've already got the loan, and you've got a locked-in rate for up to 90 days. Now, there's one exception. The rate can't go up, but it could go down. If rates go down, your rate will go down to match, but just won't go up. That's what makes Quicken Loans America's best and largest mortgage lender, rate shield approval. I want you to check it out at rocketmortgage.com/tech guy. Here's the legal stuff. Rate shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/tech guy. And we thank Rocket Mortgage for their support of our podcast. On we go with the show. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, you know, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. That's from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside those areas, you can still reach me. Use Skype, something like that to call. It still won't cost you anything. Our website, techguylabs.com, that won't cost you anything either. No sign up. It's just a free site where we stick everything I mentioned so you don't have to write anything down while you're driving around doing your errands on this afternoon. Visit techguylabs.com. It's also a place where you can leave comments after the fact if you've got a better idea. We do ask you to use a Twitter or Google or Facebook account to log in to leave comments, and that's just to keep spammers out. We don't do anything with that information. I don't want your email address. TechGuyLabs.com. Jane, Manhattan Beach is next. Hi, Jane. Leo Laporte, thank you for hanging on.
Hi, Leo.
Hello. Sorry, didn't mean to startle you. How you doing, Jane?
I'm doing well. Good. And so, and
really like listening to all the people who've talked this morning.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's see. I tried to make notes so I could make sure I remembered everything. I'm inquiring about LastPass or something similar. Mm-hmm. And I have a gazillion passwords. Of course, all of them have to be different.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Even I reuse passwords sometimes. You just remember that when you do that, all the sites then are somewhat insecure.
Yes.
True. So I only do it on things like my newspaper login, things like that, where so what if a bad guy got that? That wouldn't be the end of the world.
I hope. Okay. Yeah. So the other part of this is that I'm looking on the LastPass site, and I thought I would get some ideas, like what to look out for. So I cannot find any, well, they've got testimonials, the topic, but it does not open. So my inquiry to you today is, what should I look out for when using LastPass and or a similar one that you might recommend? And I do have another part to that.
Well, first, let me say LastPass is a sponsor of many of our shows. So
yeah.
I love LastPass. I've used it for 10 years, practically since they started. They only became a sponsor recently, but I've recommended it for all 10 years. But there are many other good similar ideas, the password managers, that's what these are called. The idea is that instead of having to remember passwords, you put them in a secure vault, which is a digital file, but a secure vault. And all you have to remember is the one password that opens the vault. You can even secure it further, which I'd recommend, with two-factor authentication. So you enter the password, but the first time you use a vault on a new device, you'll have to also enter a code that you'll get from your phone. That way, even if a bad guy got the password, he still wouldn't be able to unlock your vault. The vault itself is totally secure, and I would say this is true of all the major players, 1Password, LastPassword. There's KeePass, Dashlane. There are quite a few of these. I like LastPass because, we vetted the software early on with the creator, Joe Segrest, and I think they've kept up. The other reason I use LastPass is it works on every machine I use, Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, even on Linux machines. They have a Chrome browser plugin and so forth. So it makes it very easy for me. When I set up a new machine, one of the first things I set up is LastPass. Now I've got all my passwords available to me to quickly set up. It's not just websites, to set up apps as well with their passwords. So were you asking about best practices with LastPass, or what is your concern, or what issues would you like to know more about?
Well, anything that I put on the internet, I'm concerned about.
Yeah, so remember, LastPass doesn't protect anything but your passwords or what you enter in there. So
yes.
If you're on a website and you give them a credit card number, LastPass isn't protecting that. It can store the credit card number in LastPass. In fact, I do that. But once you give it to somebody, it's out of LastPass's hands, and unfortunately yours as well. So if you use a credit card on Amazon, for instance, it's used, and Amazon has that. If they were to get broken into, the good news is you could easily reset your password. But once you give a password or credit card or any other information to a site, it's no longer protected. It's only protected, in LastPass so that you can use it. But as soon as you use it, you're telling somebody the password.
Well, and then on LastPass, it is the password that is protected.
Yes, it's stored in LastPass in a secure fashion. So even if somebody could somehow hack into LastPass, they wouldn't be able to get that password. Only you can see that. And not just password. As I said, I use it, and any password manager, this would be the same, to store credit card numbers. I put driver's license and passport images in there. Any social security numbers, anything that I want to remember, but I want to keep safe, I keep in that vault. Think of it as it's like a physical vault. It's a secure vault that only you have access to. But once you take something out of the vault and give it to somebody, LastPass is no longer taking care of it. They do have a nice security checkup feature you might want to run that will go out and say, oh, you're using the same password on these 42 sites. And they even have a system that kind of helps you change those to more secure passwords. The point of a password manager is that not only will it store the passwords, it will help you generate
really secure, long passwords. The problem with a secure password is not memorable. If it's memorable, it's not secure.
Yes.
It's totally random. It's a weird combination of letters and numbers and punctuation marks. It's totally random. And it's long. It's more than 8 characters. It's 10, 12, as long as you can make it. 30, 40, 50. The longer you make it, the more secure it is. And so a password manager, Password Vault, will generate these very long, very strong passwords and then remember them for you. Because no one could. That's crazy. I mean, Mr. Memory couldn't remember all of these. So from now on, once you start using a password manager, you should let it generate the passwords and generate a unique one for each site. That's the most secure practice to use. And whenever you can, LastPass doesn't say this, but it is true. If a site offers this thing, do you know what I mean when I say two-factor authentication?
That I have to give 2 pieces of information in order to prove that I'm the person on the account.
A+, gold star, putting that right on your forehead there. that's exactly it. And the 2 pieces of identification usually are in 2 different categories. So there's 3 ways to – it's all about proving you're you, right? What we call identification authentication. And it's something you know, which is a password. Something you have, which could be a little dongle, a physical thing. Your phone is something you have. And then something you are, which is your iris or fingerprint scan. Those are the 3 kinds of authentication. 2-factor ideally chooses types from 2 different styles. So a password that's in your head or in your password manager and a 6-digit code generated by an app on your phone. That would be very secure. A bad guy would have to both know your password and then get your phone or hack it somehow to get both pieces of information. That makes it more than twice as hard. I guess that's the point. It's not impossible, but it's just really, really hard.
Well, good to have that extra feature on there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Use it whenever you can is my, I guess, my bottom line there. Yeah.
Definitely, yes. In looking on the site, what it is, it says, yes, there is a free offer.
Yeah.
Then I'm looking further, and all I can find is upgrade to, granted, $2 a month is nominal.
Yeah.
However, I can't find it that would continue with just the...
I think if you just download it and run it, it'll run. It just won't do some of the things you might want to, like, for instance, run on a smartphone. And they'll show you what the premium features are. But that's, to me, the most important premium feature is the ability to run not just on a computer, but everywhere on smartphones, tablets, and computers. And that you do pay for. But as you say, $2 a month is not outrageous. It used to be $1 a month.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, either one would be fine.
I think it just depends if you need it. If there are free password managers, almost always the free password manager is less convenient in some way. For instance, if you use Apple's have built-in password managers on iOS and macOS, but they don't work anywhere but iOS and macOS. So if you ever have to use Windows or an Android phone, they're not very useful. So it's things like that, that, you know, you can get free ones, but they'll be less useful than, I think, a paid one. And if you look at other ones, I mean, LastPass is great. It's what I use, but 1Password is also very good. Dashlane is also very good. Those would be my 3 favorites.
Okay. And you think that doing the next one up, i.e. the $2 a month, is better than getting the free one?
Only if you need those features. So there is a table, I'm sure, somewhere saying, here's what you get when you pay for it.
There is.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you need any of those, pay for it. If not, don't.
Okay. And they'll keep going for as long as I want it?
I hope so. they're a sponsor. Even if you don't pay, the Password Vault does not go away, just the capability of using it on an Android or iOS phone.
Oh, so they would keep it,
and
then if I continued later on, I would have it?
That's right.
Cool. Okay, thank you so much for everything today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really glad you called, Jane, because you're doing the single most important thing you can do to keep yourself secure.
Good. Okay.
I think it's real. I've got my mom to do it. All my family members, of course, they all fell off the wagon right away because it's too much trouble. Everybody wants to just use birth date and dog's name for your password. But when you hear about 500 million accounts leaked by Marriott and the passwords leaked if you use that same password on many sites, all of those sites would be compromised. You would now have to go out and change the password, and you'd have to remember where you used it. That's why a password vault is really, really important. You got to use one. You got to. I know it's not as convenient. There is a definite trade-off between convenience and security, but it's not that inconvenient. Err on the side of security. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's take a tiny little time out, and I'll get back to more of your calls. Cody and Larry and Mark, you're next. Hang in there. 8888 Ask Leo if you want to get on the line. Moreno Valley, Mark on the line. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Leo. Fantastic to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for hanging on so long.
No problem. I was wanting your opinion. I'm moving into a new house, and I convinced my wife about a year ago to cut the cable. But my wireless router, when I'm going to my Fire Sticks, I get a lot of buffering from time to time. So I'm looking at getting a mesh router system. And the two that I'm really looking at the most is the Google Wi-Fi or the Eero Wi-Fi mesh router. And just want to know your opinion on the two.
Of the two, I should mention Eero is a sponsor, but without a doubt, of the two, I choose Eero. I had the Google Wi-Fi, less than impressed with it. Nevertheless, it works. And I did give it to my daughter, but she's in a small one-bedroom apartment, so it's not a very challenging environment. I've tried most of them, and there are many good choices. I wouldn't say Google's is one of them. I use Eero at home. My mom uses Eero, but that's, again, they're a sponsor. I use Plume at home as well. I have two networks. I've used the Orbeez. I think they're very good as well. Really, at this point, I think what you're looking at more is, with these mesh systems, is not so much the technology. I think they're all pretty good that way, but the software. And this is where I think the Google Wi-Fi, surprisingly, falls down a little bit. Eero and Plume and most of the others, I think, are offering, for a subscription fee, additional features that I really like. Now, Plume kind of shocked everybody by saying, oh, and if you don't pay our yearly fee, which is around $100, your router will stop working. No, everybody's upset about that. I understand, though, their motivation here, and I'll tell you why I would make the argument that's not necessarily a bad thing. Routers are your first line of defense to the bad world outside. The internet comes into your house through that box, that router box. So you want, it's really important that your router be secure. And a router, and we see this all the time, that doesn't get updated regularly is often insecure. There's always, no software is perfect. And I see routers, especially the cheap routers that are never updated, they are full of flaws. And we see all sorts of attacks using these routers. And so that's a bad thing. Even the routers, the better routers that do get updated regularly, a lot of them don't update themselves. You have to notice, think about it, go out, download firmware, and apply the update. And that's, I think, even a step too far. I really think that if you're going to buy any device that connects online, whether it's a computer, a phone, a router, a TV set, a light, all of them should automatically update themselves. That is baseline. Absolutely must. So Eero does that. They go, and so that's why I think paying a little fee for that, maybe not such a bad thing. It's really, you know, it's expensive to keep these routers up to date, add new features. And so giving the company a little more money ahead, with Plume, you can pay also $200 ahead, make it a more expensive router and not pay a monthly or yearly fee as well. Eero, you have a choice. They have something called Eero Plus. You get other things. You get a password manager, one password with it. You get a VPN. You also get, and that, to me, this is more important, if you've got kids in the house, filtering, safe filtering that will... if you turn it on, block ads, it will also block bad sites and malware. And you could turn that on a per device basis. Or what I do is I assign, for instance, to my son, our 16 year old, I assign all of his devices, his phone, his tablet, his computer, to a group. And I say, Michael's stuff, that goes through the safe search filter so he can't get to a violent or adult or gambling sites. All of us, though, go through the malware scan. And by the way, it does detect malware trying to get through things like phishing scams, people are trying to attack the modem, things like that. So that's really handy. I think all of that makes Eero a good deal, and Eero Plus worth paying the extra $100 a year for. So now, okay. I should caution you that you may be misdiagnosing the problem. These sticks tend to have terrible Wi-Fi antennas in there. Now, maybe getting a new router will help that anyway, but it may be the stick itself is just going to buffer because it's such a slow piece of hardware. You know, they get overly heated. They crash a lot, in my experience, and they often can be slower than, say, a standard like a Roku box or a computer. So it may not be your router. It may be that stick. But nevertheless, a good router might help. And I think one of these new mesh routers really improves almost everybody's Wi-Fi connectivity. Expensive. That's the downside. They do cost more. But I think a cheap router is worth nothing. So I do like the Eero. The Google Wi-Fi is not bad. If you already had it, for instance, and it's working for you, I wouldn't stay away from it. But I think that Google doesn't update it and doesn't offer a lot of these other features that Eero does.
Yeah, no, moving to a new house and just trying to optimize as best as possible. And that's the second generation Eero that you're talking about as well?
Yeah, I gave my mom the first generation when I bought the second generation. And actually, hers does not work as well as mine. The second generation is tri-band, has a lot of new features. Tri-band's nice, too, because that eliminates interference and congestion. You can jump to another band. It does 2.5 gigahertz and 1.24 gigahertz connection. And that sometimes helps in some environments. I'll tell you, the reason I say it might be the stick, it's very hard to diagnose why Wi-Fi is bad in a certain area. Often a new router will help, but don't assume that that's going to be the be-all and end-all.
Okay. Yeah, and it's happened, like I say, I don't know if it's where the TVs are located, like you said.
Could very well be, yeah.
I do have a Fire TV as well, and it does the same thing on that.
It does too? Okay. That means probably
is
a location thing as opposed to the device.
So, okay. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Bye. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Back to the phones. We go, line two. It's 8888 Ask Leo, by the way, if you want to call in. Denver, Colorado, Larry. Hello, Larry.
Leo Laporte, how you doing?
I am well, Denver, Colorado. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I feel like Roscoe finally catching up with Luke Duke.
Oh, no. Quick, pedal to the metal. Let's go. I take it that was a Dukes of Hazzard reference.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
I think my fondest memory of Hazzard back on the when I used to watch you and Patrick show us how many devices we can get on the USB cable.
Oh, yeah. I think, what, did we get up to 127, something like that?
There was a lot of them.
None of them worked well, but we could do it.
Exactly.
That'd be fun to try that. Hey, you know, supposedly you could do even more now with Thunderbolt 3 and all of that. Maybe we should try that. That'd be fun.
That would be interesting. Hey, look, I have one bar left on my portable phone, so if it goes dead, I didn't hang
okay.
up
with you. You're down to your last bar.
Very last bar.
Oh, man.
But, I need to make some adjustments on my cable. Comcast is, you know, how they jack your bill up every.
Oh, man. I know. Mine went over $200. They didn't really let me know. I just kind of slowly inched up over there. That's a ridiculous amount.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm getting kind of sick of it. But I heard you talking about TV here a while back, and I was wanting to find out if that is something. I know it could help me on the equipment fee.
Yeah, that's about it. Because the way the TiVos work, unless you have an over-the-air antenna. If you can, and you're in a metro, so you probably could get all the locals you wanted through the air. So that's something to consider. I mean, cable really started originally because there were people like me out in the suburbs that couldn't receive over-the-air television. We weren't getting channels 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And so cable operators came along, put a big antenna in the sky that was able to receive it, and then attached it to a cable, which they trenched out to every house in the city. It was a crazy business model, but it worked. And now they're among the most successful and richest companies in America. But you don't really need that if you're in Denver, because if, as long as you can get antenna, you know, over the air reception for the locals, that'll simplify your, you could actually get, probably get rid of cable and get everything else over the internet. Unfortunately,
my problem is that my wife likes to watch a lot of retro TV. And unfortunately, there's like one or two channels, like TV One.
And a
couple of the other ones.
Yeah, the cable companies are very good at keeping these cable channels from streaming. You know, if they can, they'll discourage it, because that's what's keeping you, you know, that's why you buy cable, so you can get these channels.
Yeah. Okay.
So TiVo is basically a replacement for the Comcast cable box. But what you have to do is you go to your Comcast store, or you can do it over the phone, and get them to send you what they call a cable card. It's a credit card. What it really is, if you're an old timer, you'll remember PCM CIA cards. Remember those electronic cards?
Yeah.
You would stick it. Well, that's what it is, actually. It's a PCM CIA card that goes into the back of the TiVo and makes and authorizes it to be a cable box.
Okay, gotcha.
And so now it can take over. You no longer have a Comcast cable box of any kind. You connect the cable directly into the TiVo, and it's your cable box.
Yeah. Now, what kind of cable, what kind of TiVo would you recommend? I need that, and I need it for three rooms before my phone cuts out, for three rooms. And also one of the things that I'm concerned about is the bandwidth limit that Comcast has. I think right now it's up to a terabyte.
So a TiVo is still getting the TV, in most cases, just like a cable box, is not getting it through data. So that's important. Netflix is data. But when you're watching your cable channels, TV One, that's not data. So that doesn't go against your cap.
Well, I'm thinking, in case the TiVo does not work out for me.
I go right up. Comcast gives me, I can't remember, what is it, a terabyte or 2 terabytes? I go right up against the cap every month. It's really annoying, because I stream a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of computers, and I'm the tech guy. So I hit that I hit that terabyte every month. Drives me nuts.
That's what concerns me. My other alternative, kind of get your thoughts on it, was just getting like a business internet.
Well, I do that too.
Which would be unlimited.
It's much more expensive. There's no limit.
Right.
They also have a service level agreement, or SLA, guaranteeing a certain amount of reliability and a certain minimum speed. You notice when you buy internet as a consumer, they give you the maximum speed, not the minimum. So you're buying 100 megabit internet service, that's the fastest it can go, not necessarily what you're going to get. When you buy business class, they guarantee a minimum. So, but you tend to pay a lot more. I don't remember, but I think it's $100 for my 100 megabit Comcast business class. But then you also get, you use a different modem. And in fact, I have business class and consumer on the same household cable, so you can even do that. And you're right, that's because I hit that terabyte on the consumer. I try to route all of our TV stuff through the business. I hope I don't get kicked off of it now.
I doubt it.
But my business is watching TV.
Secret be told, I used to work in their business department.
Oh, you know all about it. Yeah, I think they do a better job with business. And by the way, the service is better, too, when you call. You probably know this as well. Because they're your business and you're paying more. So you, just like anything else, the more you pay, the better the better the service is going to be.
Depends on how new the agent is. I used to train them.
you probably don't need any of this, sir. You just call them and say, hey, it's me. It's your old buddy Larry, the cable guy.
Oh, I really don't know anything about TiVos.
TiVos are great. I love TiVos. Here's the negative on a TiVo. Besides having to get a cable card, you also have to pay a fee monthly or lifetime for the channel guide, which is, I find, very annoying. I always buy the lifetime, which is a couple of $100. So always consider that as part of the price, is this subscription for the cable guide. That's a big part of it. The reason I do it, though, is I have Comcast as well, and I far prefer it, even to the new X1. It's the best, in my opinion, TiVo's the best DVR. The problem was, I bought one for myself. My wife was using the X1, and after a while, she said, don't you like me? Why are you making me use the X1? So I had to get her a TiVo. And yeah, and they add up because you have to buy a subscription for each TiVo. We use the Bolt, which I really like. They have Bolt for both over the air and cable. So if you are thinking of dumping the cable, the Bolt, but you got to get the one at the time you buy it. You got to get the right one. And they do multi-room. They do multi-room, so you can have one Bolt and then satellites, the TiVo Mini, in other rooms. And it uses MoCA, which is internet over the cable that the cable company provided. And that works fairly well. So if you look at TiVo's multi-room solutions, they'll show you how that works.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that'll do it.
I like it. I'm a TiVo fan, and even though it cost me a heck of a lot more, I just find the TiVo a lot more usable.
Well, I'll look over that in your show notes. I'm sure you'll put more than that in your show notes.
I will.
You usually do.
I will, yeah.
Maybe I'll get a hold of you again, and maybe we can talk about some other
stuff. I'd love to, Larry. Do they ever call you Larry the Cable Guy?
You know, they never do.
You must be a rather imposing figure. No, they don't. I wonder why. Larry, a pleasure meeting you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Leo.
All
right. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. No, they never do call me that. Dick DiBartolo, Mads, maddest writer, is coming up. He's our gizmo wizard, our giz whiz. He's always got great new toys, and we'll find out what new toy he has as the Tech Guy show continues. And, yeah, I'll try to put more information up there on the show notes about the TiVo. I'm a big fan. I really am. I think it's the best DVR still, to this day, better than any cable companies. More calls. Nope. Dick DiBartolo coming up. Then more calls. Tech Guy Podcast brought to you by the best holiday gift ever. The gift of knowledge. Your DNA from Helix. And I want you to give this to every member of your family. It's very affordable. The nice thing about Helix is you pay for the the assay of your gene by it alone, and then you buy the products, the information you want. Helix is so cool. They're on a mission to empower everyone to improve their life through DNA. It's, by the way, the best DNA testing out there. Those other services don't give you the full genome. Helix does is a little different. They do the exome and capture 100 times more data than most other home DNA kits, more than a terabyte of data. They aren't doing genotyping. The next generation sequencing they do reads all 20,000 or so of the genes that are important because they encode for proteins. This is what your body's made of. This is called the exome. So you get not just ancestry, but you get real actionable insights that help you improve nutrition, health, sleep, or more. I want you to go to helix.com. Some really good deals right now, up to 40% off when you enter the promo code TECHGUY. And I love this as a gift because you get the basic Helix kit, and then you can add more insights. For instance, I was very curious on the ancestry stuff, so I bought National Geographic's Geno, and this tells me all sorts of really interesting stuff. For instance, my genius matches. I am related to Napoleon, Plutarch, Darwin, and Lincoln. I see where my ancestry comes from. I see the migration patterns. I see my maternal line and my paternal line. I love this. And even a family tree going through the ages. My maternal journey begins here. And it shows, and this is what's so fascinating. You learn about your maternal line, but you also learn about your paternal line. And you can follow the migration path through the ages. Oh, see? Different mom and dad, different migration paths. I love that. Oh, here they go. As we go through time, this is so cool. Helix.com. Here's how it happens. You order your product, the basic test, and you can get that from, they have a variety of kits. I bought the least expensive basic kit. You get everything you need to get started, including a prepaid shipping box and a little vial you spit into. That's it, your saliva sample. You'll get the test results and get access to the Helix store, and then you can unlock over 30 reports, over 200 insights, everything from this kind of ancestry stuff to wine and food and health and nutrition. You can get food sensitivity information. Go to the Helix store and see all the different kits you can get. I think I definitely want to get the Diet and Fitness Pro next. So again, this is a kit with gift with without the DNA kit, or you can get it with the DNA kit. But once you've done the DNA, you can buy these add-ons separately. You can even do it on your phone by buying an app. And it's awesome. And because they've already sequenced your exome, as soon as you buy this, the insights are immediately available. There's no waiting. One sample, they have their approach is you sequence once, but query as often as you want. And of course, as we learn more and more about the genome and the exome, you'll have more and more opportunities to learn. They have a bunch of really interesting, customizable. This is the most fun, the DNA passport. You get to see all this fun insights into what your DNA means. They also have some very sophisticated, and this is unique, health products that will tell you and help you understand your family medical history and how it can affect you or your future children. The Mayo Clinic Gene Guide, Carrier Check by SEMA4. They have an Alzheimer's APOE test. I've got to do this. I'm a little nervous to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because you want to know. Inherited cholesterol test, inherited diabetes test. BRCA is coming. So again, you sample once and you can find out all sorts of additional information. When you purchase a partner product from their marketplace, they only, by the way, and that includes the Mayo and the National Geographic, they only share the specific parts of your DNA necessary to provide you with the insights you've purchased. Security and privacy is paramount with Helix. Their security guy is fanatical about this. And Helix stores and uses the least amount of data required for every part of the process. Your privacy is absolutely protected. But you get the insights you want when you need them. Or your family, and I think this is a great family gift. Give the gift of knowledge this holiday season with Helix. Visit Helix, HELIX.com, and get up to 40% when you enter the promo code TechGuy. Helix.com, promo code TechGuy, up to 40% off. Valvy in our chat room says, I shy away because I'm afraid I'll come back 80% Neanderthal. Actually, you hope you do. Neanderthal turns out a very beneficial part of your genome. It gives you cold resistance and kind of strength and so forth. Let me just see. I wish I were more Neanderthal. See, I'm only 1.5%. I'm kind of low on the Neanderthal scale. The average is 2.1%. I want more Neanderthal. Find out how much you have. I love it. and by the way, the National Geographic product is great for educational purposes too. A kid would learn so much from this. I think it's fantastic. Helix.com, and use the offer code TechGuy for up to 40% off a variety of products. There's a lot of information in here. It's really fascinating. Thank you, Helix. This was a real fun one to do for the family. Great gift, too. Boing, baby, boing. It's a disco inferno. And inside, setting the fire, Dick D. Bartolo in his dancing shoes. He's Mad Magazine's maddest writer and our gizmo wizard. We call him the Gizwiz for short. Hello, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing, pal?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good, too. I know you always say I bring wacky stuff. So I'm going to talk about a wacky gadget. But first, my first tablet I've bought since I had a Sony tablet.
Wow. A Sony tablet? I don't even remember Sony tablets.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how old
it was. So I couldn't resist cyber. I decided that Black Friday, I wasn't going to buy anything. And then 10 o'clock at night, the ads kept building. Get it. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to buy a Fire HD 8 because it was $50.
I know. They're so cheap.
Oh, my gosh. And then it said with special offers. So I thought, with special offers would be you get the tablet.
No.
And then a couple of days later, they say, would you like
Here's an offer. No.
Oh, my God.
Well, now, I've had these special offer Kindles, and it's just the lock screen that has an ad on it. Is there more now?
It was, no matter where you went, saying, I looked up the order to make sure I hadn't ordered a moving billboard because I could find no app. So I type in, how do you get rid of all of this? And it says, oh, just pay Amazon $15 more.
Oh.
So that's what I did.
So that's what those ads are worth to Amazon, somewhere under $15.
Exactly. And for some bizarre reason, Amazon sticks tax on everything they do. So it says, remove ads from Fire HD, $15
plus tax.
$2.10 tax.
By the way, that's not for some reason. That's for a reason called the federal government.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, but for $50, it's pretty decent. The only weird thing about it is that everything's at the top.
Yeah.
The charging port, the headphone jack, the power switch, the volume control.
Well, they save money by putting it all in the top.
In the top. Yeah. Anyway, but it's $50. Yeah,
there's nothing anywhere else.
Not anywhere
else.
It's
all in the top. But I don't mind that. That's kind of, now you know where to find it. You don't have to feel around all the way.
And the other thing
is, it's kind of a low quality screen, right?
It is.
Yeah. But for $50.
And you
bucks,
can't do. The thing is, I ordered it at 10 o'clock. I had it at 1:30 the next afternoon.
No, really?
Yes.
They were just waiting. They were standing outside your door waiting for you to order.
They are right across the river, you know? Yeah. I mean, since I ordered, the guy said, you got a boat? You want to come get it now? Or
He'll do it any day now.
Any day. All right. Now, on the other hand, this is, if you're going to have a Christmas get-together, any holiday get-together.
Yes.
For $10.
Yes.
You can have reindeer ring toss.
What is reindeer? Do you have to?
Reindeer not provided.
Actually, if you go to gizmos.biz and look, so reindeer, their antlers you inflate, and then you're laughing already,
yes.
Leah. What is so funny?
Just the words
about
inflatable
this,
antlers make.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
What's funny about them is they are really terribly made, but every review says, worst piece of crap I ever got. The family had the best time.
They're fun
ever,
because you didn't mention this, you wear the inflatable
antlers.
Wear
them, yes, and they're not strong enough to actually hold the antlers straight up like it appears in the air.
It flops down over your head.
But you can still play.
Well, of course you can.
Still play.
Oh, that's hysterical. So this is the cheesiest game ever, and yet loads of fun.
Yes, I found a better one. I found two for $9.99 with an air pump.
Air pump included.
It is very funny. And always buy the two set. Because, as people said, after an hour, the air pretty much runs out of them, or there's a hole in some of the rings. But if you get two sets, you'll end up with one
keep one inflated, right?
Keep one inflated.
Oh, I see the original set you bought was hand inflated.
Yeah.
Or
well, you know what
inflated.
I did?
What?
The keyboard cleaner is really compressed air. I blow it in there. I blew it up.
That's clever.
Yeah.
You're very
clever. Not the best quality.
I have to say, you look so dapper.
Yeah.
Wearing your antlers.
It's a good look for me, isn't it?
Oh, and the rings are inflatable, too. So even if you get hit,
everything's inflatable.
Nothing's going to hurt.
Yeah. And it enhances my hairline.
They show them standing up, but they don't. They
not
just
really
flop over.
They do. They're very funny.
Oh, that is funny. $9.99 reindeer ring toss. Reindeer not included.
Right. Two sets and a hand pump.
And a hand pump. And I'll tell you the best way to find this fabulous product. I want to get them.
You will have them at the studio, and it'll be great fun.
We have a Friday night tradition. Michael's friends come over. They're all 9th and 10th graders, and they love playing silly games. This week they played Watch Your Mouth. Have you ever played that game?
Oh my gosh!
Ellen had them on. They put these
things in your mouth that you can't say anything, and then you have to say a phrase that's like three or five, and they have to guess what it is.
Yeah, it's so like going to the dentist without the cotton.
You could actually just do this.
Oh, you know, you're right.
Tooth to tail. You don't need to gain. You just need to put your fingers in your mouth.
That doesn't look as funny.
We know he played last night. We weren't home, but when we got home, all six sets of mouth spreaders were in the dishwasher, so we figured either he played or he found a new use for them. I don't know what that would be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so these are – but see, this is the time of year you have family and friends over. You want to play silly, fun games.
Yeah.
And it starts off with a laugh because you're wearing these antlers up, you know, and they're just flopping down over your head.
Over your head.
Yeah.
It's really the
you
best.
You look like the saddest reindeer ever. Forget Rudolph.
I got left behind. Rudolph left without me. I'm a depressed reindeer.
Go see Dick's video on his website, and don't read the Amazon reviews. Well, you see now, maybe you pumped it up with a little bit more air. It's standing up a little better.
That's when I found the
compressed air
keyboard cleaner. The
compressed. Yeah. Gizwiz.biz. That's Dick's website. GIZWIZ.BIZ for all of the fun gadgets and gizmos he mentions on this show and the other shows he does, because he gets around, if you know what I mean. but if you want to see the stuff he mentions on this show, go click the link that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. While you're there, do play the What the Heck Is It contest. I think through the end of the month, right? You've got
through the end of December.
End of December. This is December now, so through the end of the year.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
I know.
How did that happen? Guess
a close up. You're going to get a close up picture of a gizmo or gadget. Guess what it is. You get there's some autographed Mad magazines involved. Some for the right answer, mostly for the wrong but funny answer. It's a fun game to play. Gizwiz.biz, and don't forget Dick's fabulous show, the Gizwiz Show at Gizwiz.tv every week with Chad Johnson. Thank you, Dickie D. Have a wonderful week.
Sir.
I'm going to be
too.
In New York this week. Is it cold?
No.
Is it snowing?
Tomorrow's going to be 60. No, you're going to be good. You're going to be good.
Because last week it was 17. Lisa's all worried. Oh, my gosh. I don't have the right clothing.
We did go boating last Sunday. We're going boating again tomorrow.
That's hysterical.
So I think you're going to be fine.
And you just don't know, do you? It's crazy. All right, Dickie D. Have a great
week.
Okay,
buddy. Take care.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Big Pee Wee Damien, running the show today for the first time solo, our musical director. Thanks to Kim Schaffer, the phone angel, who's answering the phones all by herself. Well, I'm here. I'm just hanging out. I do thank you for joining me, and I hope I'll see you again real soon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy Show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Yes, let's get one more in here. Line three, Curly, Cody. Curly. Hi, Curly. Cody. Hi, Cody.
Hi, my name's Curly. But yeah, I had a quick question about the Acer Aspire R. It's using the Realtek HD audio driver.
Yeah.
But it's got a sound bug right now where the sound will just auto rise, but I've reset the driver and I'm honestly to the point now where I'm just going to write a script and just have it monitor it basically and just run it down. But I was going to see what you thought.
When you say auto rise, what, it goes up in frequency or it goes up in volume?
Volume. So the volume, like,
oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. So I've reset the driver. I've updated the driver. At this point, I'm probably just going to uninstall and then just reinstall, but I wanted to see what you thought.
There are probably also open source drivers that might work. Realtek is such a kind of standard that you might look for. Is it Windows 10?
Yeah, Windows 10, computers 2016-ish, so relatively
new. It's a new computer, not an old computer. I'm just looking to see if there are any third-party Realtek drivers. Did this start happening recently, or has it always been an issue?
No, it just started recently once they pushed their new update.
Yes, so that's right. So there were issues with audio in 1809.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. It's 1809.
Yeah, everything is up to date, so I could just roll it back to the older ones. It's just I'm concerned about it not being up to date and then not having the handshake with the Windows 10.
Right. And you've taken the drivers from the Realtek site, right? I mean, generally...
No, okay. Through the page, it just had searched the online base, so I'm suspecting it probably did through Realtek. I just didn't go out to the internet and source it.
A lot of times there's a Windows driver provided by Microsoft. There's a driver provided by the manufacturer, an Acer driver, and then there's the driver from Realtek. And often those will be out of sync. And it may be that if you go, so I'm not sure what the driver search gave you. Probably gave you an Acer driver, right? So I would go to the Realtek. I would go to the Realtek site and just because you can download them directly from Realtek. It may be that they've updated those knowing. No, they haven't. I'm looking at the updates. 2017. January 2017. Okay. Never mind. On the other hand, maybe that'll work. You know, I don't know. It's worth just seeing, you know, drive the. They have a thing called Driver Talent, but I would not install that if I were you.
Computer savvy enough where I could probably just write my own script to basically control the volume control, though.
Yeah, but you don't want to be sitting there running a script. The script's always checking. Oh, is it going up? Oh, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. That does not seem like a good idea.
Yeah, it just seems unpleasant.
So unpleasant, to say the least. Yeah. This is so frustrating. So apparently there were 1809 did have sound issues. You know, it's very likely Microsoft will at some point get around to fixing this.
Yeah,
I had not heard this one of the volume going up. Most of the time, the issues are either no volume or it crashes the computer.
Yeah.
So really, think of yourself as lucky. There apparently is. I don't know if you've spotted this, but there are two knowledge base patches to fix audio on 1809 that might also be worth looking at. I don't know if you've seen 8550 and 8304.
Okay, I think I just downloaded 8304.
I think I'm guessing 8304 is for, it says an HP driver and 8550 is for an Intel driver. So unlikely those would help you. It's interesting they're having a Realtek problem as well. But it's worth trying. Yeah, these are issues with Intel and HP's audio. HP, though, probably is... HP gives people a blue screen of death. Great. Oh, my God. What a mess 1809 is. I guess you could write a script that's constantly turning the volume down, but that seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah, it also seems really a brute way of fixing it.
Very brute. Very brute. Would you write it in PowerShell? What would you write it in?
I'm scripted in Python and C++ is what I know. So
and
I
Python would, has access to the... calls you'd need to turn the volume down. Probably does. There's probably a library to do that.
Yeah, it's one of those. I just got to do some research before I start messing with the innards because I don't want to damage anything.
I don't think that'd turn it. It'd break anything, but I would. You know, Realtek is the default for everything. It's so strange that there is apparently an Intel fix for Intel chipset issues. So I guess some computers use Intel, but I would be shocked if HP isn't using Realtek. So
yeah, well, the Acer Aspire, and it's got the Intel i7 dual core. So
you know, that's a nice laptop. It's a great laptop. That's so weird. So you're listening to stuff; it gets louder and louder and louder.
Well, even when the audio is not even on, so if the screen is just on standard home page, it would literally just the volume. See if it say it was at 14, it would bounce to 100. It would just increase.
And you're sure that you don't? I'm sure you've checked this, but you don't have a sticky volume key, function key, or anything like that.
Well, the thing is it would require the function key and the audio up button key to both be sticky, which would be interesting.
Oh, okay. So the way you have it, see, I have it set so that the function key turns the volume up.
No, yours
function volume up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. Although that sounds like that's another, something like that is another possible cause.
Yeah.
Or you have a buddy who's messing with you.
That's also probably true, though.
Because if you can write a script to turn it down, he can write a script to turn it up.
Yeah.
So if you have, don't let other people mess with your computers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you're obviously savvy. You know all the different things to try. I haven't heard about that particular flaw yet, but.
Basically what I'm probably going to end up doing is probably I'll just uninstall and then just reinstall.
Absolutely. Do that. It may just be that that would, because I don't think that's a widespread issue, and it should be if there's a real tech driver issue. So,
yeah. Well, I've seen videos, so I went on YouTube today checking if anyone else had the issue. I've only found one other issue that somebody posted on, so I suspect that it's not common, but
Something to your unique to your environment. Yeah. Yeah, you might try reinstalling. I hate to do it. You have reinstalled the drivers, right?
I've just currently updated the drivers.
Oh, yeah. Pull the drivers out entirely. And that's hard to do. You can't just delete them from Device Manager. You actually have to go into Device Manager and erase those files.
Yeah, you're pulling it down. It's
A pain. You know all that. You're sophisticated. Yeah.
But such is life.
Welcome to 1809, the update that just keeps on giving. I didn't have any problems with it at all, but boy, this has become a nightmare for so many people.
Yeah, that's computers, though.
Yes, it is, unfortunately. Do you ever listen to Windows Weekly? Because Paul Thurrott's always ranting about this. He's really been upset about 1809.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's nice to meet you, Cody. Keep calling.
No problem.
I like having a sophisticated user every once in a while.
I'm sure you get pretty annoyed with some of the people.
No, I don't. I love them all. Thanks, Cody.
Have a nice day.
You too. Take care. I do. I'm very sympathetic because, frankly, someone like Cody, you know, he's going to be able to figure out anything that goes wrong. He doesn't need to call me. But I feel bad for people who just don't. It's like they're in a world where how does this stuff even work? I know how that is. So I don't actually, they never bother me.